All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's conference call. Today is Monday, August 31st, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140, and our participant code is 385-698. Radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have a question or a comment. If anybody would like to email us a question, you can send questions at questions, plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please consider supporting by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right for more information. Now we'll first start off with a look into God's Word, the Bible. We'll be looking into Proverbs 12. Last week we read 1 through 15. We're going to start here in 15 and read through 28. So Proverbs chapter 12, verses 15 through 28. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel, he is wise. If a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh which like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselor of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness is in the heart of a man, maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, but in the pathway thereof there is no death. Okay, that was Proverbs chapter 12, verses 15 through 28. Okay, tonight we don't particularly have a topic. We have been working diligently, I know I have been, and we've had some meetings throughout the week, preparing for, writing papers in order to file habeas corpuses. We're pushing hard on the CPS. We mentioned that last week. I think we're ready to really start writing. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have a whole group of people writing papers, preparing the papers for the courts. And hopefully by next week we're going to have a lot of papers to announce maybe for filing. But that depends on how well, the process goes, and we have to kind of work our way into it and sort of acclimate as a group for writing these papers and presenting them into the courts. We've got a lot of other things going on. We're preparing also a paper for Congress. We're not going to talk much about that until we got the paper written. And hopefully next week, next Monday, we'll have that paper written. It's in progress right now. I think it's going to be a very powerful paper. It's going to be on a very, very interesting subject. And it's time to hold Congress liable. We the people have been duped by our servants for decades. actually, you know, I think we could say for scores of years, many scores of years, every decade or every score of years, generation just gets dumber and dumber and dumber. We are at a point, I believe, in America where many people, or most people, you know, under 30 or under 20s, in their 20s and younger particularly, have no clue about anything concerning our founding fathers, liberty, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, the Holy Bible. Not a clue at all. And, you know, what goes on TV really drives the mind of the young mind, and it just brings them down into the trash, and they benefit nothing. But even we ourselves, you know, only because we have made that initiative to step forward and try to discover, you know, who we really are, what is really America, where did we come from, what is our founding documents all about, what is the foundation, who is the true king of the court, all these questions that are the most important thing that a human being can ask. People are born with unalienable rights. And the purpose of life, ultimately, the answer is really quite simple. It's to find God. That's the purpose of life, to truly find God. For eternity is much more important than just the mere 100 years and less in this world. And for most of us, less than 100 years. While we live in this world, we are always assaulted and ruled over by tyrants. It's just our history is full of tyrants, just full of them. And history has shown us, and we've established this and talked about this in the past, it's in our paperwork. History has shown us that these things are there, but the only solution is to make God back the king of our court. And only then can we have any hope, not only of salvation, which is the most important thing, of course, the salvation of our sin-sick souls, but as far as our life in this world, any hope of liberty, any hope of peace, any hope of joy, any hope of a future for our children, any hope at all. And so as this out-of-control government has robbed of us of our education, hidden the truth from us, brought in history that is not so, just totally debased our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, Adams, and many others. And in that process of total destruction, liberty has been lost. Men do not speak. People do not speak. In general, the public, the things of liberty, and the things of liberty is the law of God. It brings us right back to that relationship with God. They don't speak about God. They don't speak about liberty. They don't speak about the courts, the justice system, what's going on, what's really going on. They don't speak about solutions. You know, people have lost hope. They've lost their way, and they've lost hope. You know, we at National Liberty Alliance know that there is a solution. It's very, very close. We're very close to accomplishing our goals. It's only a matter of time. It's in God's timing, not ours. But it is coming. It's drawing. We see it very, very clearly. We see it. Those who are really involved and are on the front line, so to speak, they see it. It's coming. And we need people to really come to realize what their conversation should be about. And where their hearts really should be, and pay attention to what's going on in our nation, and take control, take back control. We at National Liberty Alliance have discovered that the only way to do that is to take back our courts. If the people can have total control in the courts, and they do that through the grand juries and the trial juries and the administrations that prepare them and. Prepare the people to come into the courts to take that seat on the king's bench. That's the solution, because if you have justice in the courts, you will have justice in every office in America. There'll be justice within the governor's office. There'll be justice in the president's office. There'll be justice in Congress, both state and federal. There'll be justice all throughout all of government. But that can only, and if there is justice in all those places, then there is an acknowledgement and an obedience to the will of the people. And the acknowledgements and the will and the obedience to other people, as far as our servants are concerned, is to obey and uphold the Constitution for the United States of America. So this is where we need to get to. And if Congress is obeying the Constitution for the United States of America, we the people are above the Constitution. We the people ordained and established this Constitution for them, for our servants. They are below. They are to take an oath, and they do take an oath to obey and protect and uphold the Constitution for the United States of America. And yet they are only words. They don't mean anything. And they went to the same schools we did. And they are not honorable men. How can a man take an oath and not take it serious? How can a man take an oath and not obey it? How can a man take an oath and live with himself when he doesn't uphold it? But they do. They don't have a problem with that. And they get richer and richer. They get more and more power. They empower each other. They enrich each other. And yet they go to sleep at night. And it doesn't bother them one bit. But it's time that we, the people, remind them of the oath that they took and to hold their feet to the fire. This problem goes back many, many generations. We cannot hold all the Congress's past accountable, although they should be accountable and God will hold them accountable. But we, the people, cannot hold all the past Congresses accountable. But we, the people, could put on notice this Congress, and I'm not sure which Congress this is. I have to look this up. It may be the 104th, 103rd. I'm not sure. But we're going to find out. And this Congress is going to be held accountable because we're going to reveal to them the problems of our nation. We're going to reveal to them the fact that they have lost their way, that they have lost their respect for the American people and themselves, that they have dishonored themselves by not holding the Constitution, but instead has put money in front of this. But we're going to remind them of this. We're going to lay it out clear as we can. We'll start a little at a time. And so we're going to be writing a lot of papers to the Congress and hold them accountable and let them know that they will be accountable for the sins of all Congresses past. Because we are going to put them on notice, we're going to make it clear, and therefore they will be liable. And that's the way we have to save America. We have to put it onto the paper and put it into all 94 federal courts, which we do with all our papers. But we do have a series of papers we need to write to Congress. And again, we still need to continue to communicate to all these other elected officials and appointed officials throughout America. There's almost 13,000 of them, a little over 12,500 elected officials on the federal and state level, and particularly looking at the Congresses of all the states, looking at all the judges in the courts, the federal judges, all the sheriffs, all of the marshals, and even the special agents in charge for the FBI. All of them are responsible, and all of them get a copy of everything we do. We are faxing out these papers, and we'll be faxing, and we're going to continue to fax out papers to all these people. But when we serve Congress, and we're talking about U.S. Congress, I believe there's 530. Actually, they've added some, so I don't exactly know the number, but it should be 530. It should be 430 congressmen and 100 senators. But they've added some congressmen because they've created the territories a long time ago, and now they're giving congressmen to territories. And that's a problem. They're really looking for more control is what they're doing. But nevertheless, justice will intervene. Justice will really take control and be successful. But only if we, the people, establish that justice in the courts by stepping up and doing the right thing. And that is exactly what we are doing here in National Liberty Alliance. We are one of the largest. I can't say that we are the largest. We may be the largest. I don't know. But we are one of the largest liberty groups, national liberty groups. We have thousands of members. And we have tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people watching us. We have name recognition. We're out there. We're everywhere. And the courts surely know us. The federal courts know us. The state courts know us. The governors now know us. The sheriffs are aware of us. And we're going to continue to educate. We're preparing a special video for the sheriffs, about 10 minutes long, hopefully. Hopefully no longer than that. But about 10 minutes, really focused in on the sheriffs. And once we get that video out, it is the duty of everybody in National Liberty Alliance to make this video go viral, to get it to their sheriffs, to get it out to the people. The sheriffs particularly need to understand their power and their authority. They need to understand their duty. They need to understand that it is them that is going to save America. It really, of course, is the people that are going to save the America. But we have to educate our sheriffs because they are the constitutional law officers. They are the ones responsible for the counties. Because we don't have a militia in most states, in many counties, in many places, we do have them here or there, but not what we should have. It's not well-funded. It's not well-supplied. And of course, Congress is supposed to have funded and supplied everything for the militia. That's in Article 1. Section 8, I think it's 14 and 15 or 15 and 16 sections, but you'll find it in there. They by order and by legislation, is supposed to be funding the militias across the nation and to set the guidelines and certain requirements for the training of these people. But it's up to the states to choose the leadership and ultimately for the governor to maintain control of that militia. And, of course, sheriffs have the power of posse comitatus. And so should anything break out, it's up to the sheriffs at this point through posse comitatus to prevent any kind of an insurrection, any kind of an assault upon us by outside forces from enemies from within or enemies from without. It's up to the sheriffs. They are the last line of defense, and ultimately they should be the first line of defense also. So they are the ones that are going to really be the protectors of this nation, and we depend upon them. So we have to educate them. We have to let them know their duties. We've been doing this for a while, and I do believe we're getting success. We're getting some responses. We're getting some things happening out there. We're hearing things, and they're good things. I think they're coming around. Some of them are still asleep, but we'll wake them up. Other sheriffs will wake them up. But I think this video is going to be the key thing. And I think this video, when they see who has sponsored this video, of course, they're going to remember our name. Oh, that's National Liberty Alliance. And look what National Liberty Alliance is doing. We're empowering the sheriff. We're telling them that what the powers they have and the authority they have and the duty that they have. We want to wake them up and get them moving. Get them to understand they need to be working with their fellow sheriffs next door and ultimately throughout the state. They really need to be focusing in on how we're going to save America. And they don't need to do anything much except for just be ready. That's the key thing. Posse comitatus, key thing. We, the people, will be called by our sheriffs to protect our nation, county by county, state by state. And that's what these people need to realize. So we'll do our best to educate them in that. We will gear them over to papers again, which we've sent to them. And for those who have lost them or misplaced them or didn't think much of them at first and maybe threw them away or whatever the case may be, at some point we hope that they'll start to get a hunger for what they were missing. And we'll make that available to them and make it clear where they can find it on our website. But that's our job right now. We are probably the most proactive group, liberty group out there. we are doing so much work, and I'm thankful for all the people that have volunteered. And for those who have not volunteered, please get into the fight now. Now is the time to step up. Now is the time to stand for America. And so get a hold of the leadership at National Liberty Alliance. Get involved in a committee. Become involved, even if it's only an hour a week. And those of us who are retired or have businesses that allow us a lot of free time or things of that nature, you know, let's give it our all. Let's get in here full time. We really are run by a lot of people who are, most of them, retired. But some people are working full-time jobs, and yet they give many hours a week. They're available all the time. Usually entrepreneurs or people in positions of management where they're able to take a half hour here or an hour there to do things. So, but we need everybody. We need all the people, not some of the people. We need we the people. Only we the people can save America. And we can wake up our sheriffs and work with our sheriffs to protect our borders and protect us from these crazy people that just are totally insane and hell-bent on just destroying the world, destroying families, destroying people, destroying the name of God. Just destroying everything. They think that they can destroy the planet and fix it later on. That's what these people really think. They play God. They play with all of these experimental things they've got going. They use HAARP and change weather patterns and use it as a weapon. They've done it in China. They've done it in Japan. They've done it in many, many places. And yet, still a lot of people are unaware of this. But they've destroyed our wheat fields. All our wheat fields have been totally destroyed. I don't know if there's anything pure out there anymore that hasn't been destroyed by their experiments. They've destroyed our food. They've destroyed our water. They've destroyed they've destroyed our air. They're destroying our planet. They destroyed our soils. They're destroying our water. I mean, they're just hell-bent to take control of the world by destroying everything, and they think they can fix it later. But anyway, we need to do something soon, and I think that day is coming. We don't know when that's going to be. It's in God's timing, but we see it coming. We've got the vision. We know what we have to do. And we see it coming. It's like we're walking around the walls of Jericho, and blowing the horn, and at one point the walls are going to fall, and the people will go in and take control. So anyway, time to step up, and we seriously need more people contributing to our, into the donations. We just don't have enough money to go forward. Our bills are climbing. Our fax machines, we've paid for the hardware. We spent thousands of dollars on the hardware, spent $1,000 on the software. It's costing us, maybe just under $500 a month for the phone bill, just the phone bill. We've got 8 lines. And they'll be pumping out 20. They're pumping out right now, but right now we're in kind of an in-between thing. But hopefully in the next day or two, we will be pumping 24/7 for days, weeks, months on end, getting out information to the people, to our servants, and letting them know we the people are coming, and they need to step up and start doing the right thing, or prepare themselves for the wrath of the people. And the wrath of the people will come upon them in a courtroom. That's where it'll come upon them. And the people will decide what's going to happen to them. So we also want to go forward, though, as we've always gone forward, with a olive branch offering mercy. All they have to do is just do the right thing now. That's all they have to do. And we're good with them. There's no need for us to go back after their past sins. We're all sinners after all. But what we want to do is save America. We're not here for vengeance. for retaliation, to put people in jail, or whatever. We're not here for that purpose. We're here to save America at all costs, at all costs. But if we could do it peacefully, that's exactly where we want to be. If we could do it through negotiations and people that are in power will just obey the Constitution for the United States of America, that would be the best thing. So, again, we need support. We need economic support. We need people's support. We need your time. So please, if you're not giving, please get out there. Give $5 a month or more. There are some people who give $50 a month. There are people who give $100 a month, $20, $10. The majority of them give them $5 a month. But please, let's get out there and do this. We have, as I mentioned a little while ago, 530 congressmen. We have 430 congressmen and 100 senators. But again, like I said, we've got a few more than that because of some strange things that they're doing. So whatever that number may be, it may be 540. But we have to send papers out to every one of them. We've got to print papers. They may be 4 or 5 pages long. So they have to be printed out. They have to be signed. They have to be sealed. They have to put in an envelope. We need toner. We need paper. We need envelopes. And then we need to mail them. You know, maybe each one will cost $1 to mail. We know it's going to be 2 ounces or more, so somewhere around $1. And so just the mailing alone is $540, let's say. And then you've got the envelopes the paper and the toner. So we really need money. And this isn't just a one-time thing. We need to be sending to Congress maybe once a week for a while because we have a lot to tell them. Now, we've told them in the Quo Vadis. We've told them in another paper that we sent. I forget what we had named it, but we sent 2 papers into Congress. What we really need we have more information that we need to put on their hearts and make them understand that they need to be obedient to. But we don't want to do it all in one shot. Well, we want to do it maybe 4 pages, 5 pages at a time. So maybe a series of 4 papers, maybe 4 or 5 pages at a time, and we can get our message through. We have never served Congress direct. I don't think we have. We may have tried in the beginning, but we never really served. I think the Quo Vadis did go out to everybody, if I recall. But we had helps of lots of people. It was never completed by some places, and we've done our best to complete what we could. But everyone was faxed copies, and everyone was emailed copies. But we have to make sure that Congress gets a hard copy paper, that they are respondents in a federal court to give answer and to respond and to do the right thing, to respond with action through obedience. And so that's what we need to do. We need to do it every week for about 4 weeks. So the mailing alone is $2,000 for the next month. And if we don't get it out, it's because we don't have the money to get it out. So it may take 2 months to get it out. We'll do whatever we can, but it all depends on the people and supporting this effort. We need to send something out to the sheriffs. We've got 3,143 sheriffs. That's a lot of people. And I'd like to do a paper maybe in a month or so straight to the sheriffs and make sure we get a hard copy to every single one of them. Meanwhile, we're going to do that video. We're going to get the video out. And then we're going to prepare a place on our page, on our website, where these sheriffs can come and get all the information they need to understand who they are and by what authority they act upon, and that the future of America at this point rests with them, as far as especially trying to do this peacefully. So that's what we need to do. And again, it costs money. No matter what we do, we have our regular bills we pay every month. We have broadband. We have maintenance for the website. Our website is growing, and we always constantly, from time to time, we have to put new space on. So we're constantly eating up a lot of space up there. We have lots of videos, lots of audios. Well, not too many videos, lots of audios. Most of our videos are housed on YouTube. But we do have some areas where we did not go to YouTube and we did do it straight off the site. But we have a lot of audio and a lot of papers, a lot of course education, and of course we have the civics course. Anybody who isn't taking the civics course needs to get into the civics course. The people expect to be ignorant and free. They expect what never was and never will be. So, and that's what Thomas Jefferson said. So, listen, this civics course was put together to really give the people understanding of exactly who we are, where we came from, where we should be going. We have history of American history in here by one of the best professors of American history in America, Thomas Woods. We have a couple of programs on the Constitution. We have, of course, four lectures on common law. We have, goodness, it's got to be 15, maybe 20 documentary films, videos from Griffin, G. Edward Griffin, really lays out how America got to where we are, how these people actually done it. When you go through these videos and you get from the beginning and get to the end, you'll understand exactly how we've been duped, exactly how they pulled off what they have pulled off. The greatest crime in human history. They are just RICO on steroids is what they are. That's what our courts are, RICO on steroids. And everything is about money. Everything is about the fiction and their money. It's time for us to really step up. It's time to really start to push. This is the time. We're where we belong. We are united across America. We are established in every state. We're reaching down into every county of America. And it's up to the people to step up and let's do what has to be done. Roll up your sleeves and let's get this job done. When we reach the right number of people, when we get that to that point where we have a an earth movement of people, and we're not far from that possibility, not far at all. That'll be in God's timing, and when that happens, that's when we will win back America. So please, step up. Put in a couple of bucks a month, and put in a couple of hours a week, and let's save America. Okay, let's see where we're from here now. We don't particularly have a topic. I guess that was our topic, but hopefully next week we'll have some papers to share. And before we get moving into an open forum, and we're going to ask for the people who have court cases that have filed with us and they're interested and they got some questions. We want those people first to come to the mic. So when we all go into Q&A, we want those people who have questions concerning where we are with the court cases. And we're filing all kinds of cases at this point. We're filing cases on the tax courts. We're filing cases for mortgage fraud, mortgage foreclosures. We're filing cases on property tax foreclosures. We're filing papers, obviously, on CPS and APS and, of course, family court in general, probate court. We're filing papers on a lot of different things, especially people that have been incarcerated unlawfully. We're filing papers on that. And all of those papers that we're filing is really habeas corpus. But every time we file a paper to a group of people such as, our servants, such as the governors or the Congress or whoever. We've already filed papers on the United States Supreme Court. And we've been met with silence. And that tells us two things. Guilt and fear. Remember that. Their silence tells us their guilt. Their silence tells us their fear. And with that comes power to the people. When the government fears the people, is then that we have liberty. And we are establishing that now in the courts, throughout the courts, the most important place to establish it. And eventually in Congress. and all 50 states Congress. And that's what we need to do, and we're going to continue to do it. And we will succeed. But anyway, people who have questions concerning their cases, concerning CPS, what's going on, where we're at, if their case is still in the queue for them, what's going, you know, questions. Let's answer the questions. Let's focus in on that first. So when I do open Q&A, call for those people first. Let's give them 30 seconds or 60 seconds, and I'll let you know when others can come into the queue. And we'll try to move things along. Sometimes we get stuck and we go a little too long, and sometimes we need someone to push us through, so, you know, push us along. And Gary's good at that often, but sometimes I purposely stay with a caller because they're asking such good questions and we're giving such good information concerning those things that everybody wants to know. But we will try to move it along and try to answer as much as we can tonight. Okay, before we go on, Gary or Gerard or someone out there, take a look to find, let's see, who do we want to find first? Try to find Brad. Brad has an announcement for something going on out in Long Island this Wednesday. So, Gary, if you can find Brad, well, I'll tell you what, Brad, only Brad, please, only Brad, nobody else, go into, Brad, hit star 6, come into the queue. Also, I would like to see Paul. Paul has some more reports on Silver. Hit star 6, come into the queue. And let me see, who else? I know Paul needs just to have a couple of minutes. Brad needs a couple of minutes. And then we'll see if anyone else has anything particular on the leadership level. So nobody else into the queue except for, at this point, Brad and Paul. So let me take the first person here, which I don't think is either of them. 434, this isn't Paul, is it?
No, I'm sorry, John. I jumped.
Okay, next caller. Brad, let's let Brad go first. Go ahead, Brad. You
John.
Have an announcement.
Yes, we have a lady who is having her house, her home, unlawfully foreclosed upon on Wednesday in Long Island, and I would like to put out another call. I sent a blast email, I think it was Friday, and I'm going to put it out again tonight, but I want anybody who's on the call that is close to Long Island to give some thought maybe to going over there. If September 2nd, which is Wednesday, at 11 a.m., and the location is the Southampton Town Hall. Southampton Town Hall. And the address is 116 Hampton Road. 116 Hampton Road in Southampton, New York. The lady's name is Maud, and she really needs our help. We need a good turnout there if we can. Obviously, those of you in California and Nevada and Missouri and whatnot are not going to be able to make it. But if you're any place around New York City, and you can, even if you're on Manhattan Island, if you can spend an hour and a half to 2 hours sometime there to get over there in time, I know she'd really appreciate it. Those of you in South Connecticut, same thing. I know it's a long drive, but think about this. It's her home. I won't go over that anymore. John, I would like to mention one other thing that I can. It hasn't had anything to do with this. But on the paperwork that we're dealing with, there are a number of places where we are called to swear. And that is a bothersome thing to me because it doesn't say swear or affirm. And there's a difference between an oath and an affirmation. And what I'd like you to do is, we don't need to talk about it now, but I'd like you to go to Matthew 5.
Yeah, are we talking about the affidavits?
Yes, and any place else in the where it says it should say swear or affirm, I believe Matthew 5:33-37 explains it very well. But And we don't need to go into it any more tonight unless you want to. But
right. Yeah, I may touch on it a little bit and talk about it. I've looked at this issue numerous times. And, you know, look at, you know, Matthew 5 particularly, that's the Sermon on the Mount. And I spent a lot of time on the Sermon on the Mount, especially when I first became a Christian, because I was filled with conviction. And this convicted me of my sin. But it is true that we should not swear, you know, on our by ourselves or in God. But of course, that is really talking about common conversations and things that are menial or things that you want someone to believe you and say, hey, look, I swear to God, this is true. It's not meant for that. That's what God is really talking about. But he expects us to walk into a place where we might, I'll let you talk in a minute. He expects us that when we walk into a place where in a court of law, that we do swear that this is the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And I think that's appropriate, and some people may have a problem with that. You know, some of the common law judges, when you go back and study the history, and even in our own country, right here in America, they held this so tight and so important to them to make the courts work, for people to really put themselves on the line. In other words, you can't be held accountable for saying a lie in the court if you're not under oath. But if you're under oath, you're going to be held accountable for every uttered word out of your mouth. And there have been judges in America, and this was something that was more often than not, where when an individual refused to swear, then their testimony was worthless and they didn't want it in the court. And I agree on that, because, look, you got to put your freedom, your liberty, where your mouth is. If you're going to go in there and talk as a witness against somebody or for somebody, you need to put your own liberty on the line, because, you know, when you swear and you have not told the truth, and they find you out, and they will find you out. That's one thing about a court of law. A court of law, when it goes through the process of action, it weeds out the liars. It shows the contradiction. It becomes obvious. And people, unfortunately, are not held accountable when they lie in court. They need to be held accountable. There must be a penalty. And it used to be a penalty. You go to jail for lying in a courtroom, swearing on something that it's true and it's not. But I know there is another position or opinion on that. There is another thing which we work with, which is vows. We take a vow to God. And the Bible does talk about vows to God, and it's okay to take a vow to God, but if you take a vow to God, you better really mean it. Take it seriously, because you're vowing to God. And you know, there's one person you cannot afford to lie to, and really to nobody, but definitely you shouldn't be lying to God, because he clearly knows. But in any event, if you wanted to comment back on that, you go right ahead, Brad.
Okay. Yeah, I disagree with you, and I'll read why. This is from the King James Version. Again, ye have heard it hath been said by them of old time.
What verse?
Thou shalt not forswear, but shalt perform unto thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than this or these cometh of evil.
Okay. Yeah, what verse was that?
What verse?
Yeah, what verses were you reading?
Matthew 5, and it's verses 33 through 37.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
I read that in other versions of the Bible, with the New International Version. A number of different ones, and
right.
the message is pretty much the same.
I agree. I agree on this, and I have looked very deeply into this, and there are other places in the Bible that we could look at. But let's just look in this one area. God is saying here in verse 37, but let your communications, not testimony, let your communications be yea and nay. Don't say, hey, look, this is the truth, and we got to do this. And I swear to God, you see, people talk using God's name in vain, using him as a footstool, using him in order to get what they claim to be truth and may not necessarily be truth, okay? And he doesn't want people to talk like that. He wants people to be honorable. He wants people to say the words that they mean. They don't need to swear about it. And move on, and then perform whatever it is that they said that they were going to do in an agreement with another individual. Unfortunately, we have been taught to break our words, and we do break them day in and day out constantly. And but God is speaking about communications. Let your communications be this, not be this way. But let your communications be yea and nay. But now when you're going to give a testimony, your testimony is an oath. And he does speak a little earlier about the oaths. Again, you have heard that it is said of them by old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. So you have to perform unto the Lord your oaths. And the oaths have to be something that is serious. It identifies with a testimony on the innocence or guilt of someone, or the facts of the matter that has to do where you're going to really declare something on a high level, like in a courtroom. But he goes on, but I say unto you, swear not at all by heavens or by earth or the throne. But he ends up making the point, it's about communications. Don't just take it down. Look at, you know, the Lord also, they told us a lot of things, you know, don't call any man your father, okay? Now, he didn't mean your earthly father, but he was talking about those who call themselves the spiritual fathers. Don't call it, but you have one father in heaven. So there's a lot of things, you know. Also, thou shalt not kill. That doesn't mean you can't kill an animal to eat. It really is talking about thou shalt not murder. So we have to look within the context. We have to put it back into the whole Bible. And, you know, next week maybe I'll pull some verses up. And we'll look a little deeper into this swearing thing. Maybe we can talk some more. I'm not prepared too much to talk further than that at the moment. But if you want to make another comment before we move on, go ahead.
Only that the difference between an oath and an affirmation is the invocation of a deity. An oath invokes a deity, and that's where they say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And an affirmation is the same thing, except do you affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, period.
Yeah, but you know, lawyers make affirmations, and the reason why they make affirmations is because they really can't take an oath for what they're saying because it's second-hand information. And lawyers cannot be held accountable for what they say in their affirmation because it is second-hand information. They're not first-hand, and they are not the true witness, and they don't know what's going on. And that's how they get into it, into a courtroom, without bringing in an affidavit. An affidavit of truth, which is required to have a sworn affidavit of truth before a notary or a judge or a magistrate, and an affidavit of truth in a court of law rules. So whatever you say in an affidavit and there is no rebuttal to it, that rules the court, and that is the truth of the court. And if anybody is found lying on that affidavit, they will be held accountable, and they should be held accountable, and people have to be held accountable. So an affirmation is not a sworn affidavit. And again, an affirmation is you're affirming something, but you're not swearing to something. And that's exactly what they do. They come and talk about their clients. You'll never see a lawyer take their client to do a sworn affidavit. What they'll do is swear that what the lawyer is saying is true. And then the lawyer will come out and he'll say what he says under an affirmation. So what they've done is they bulletproof themselves. They put an insulation around themselves, and you can't get any of them for lying. And believe me, they lie like skunks. I cannot believe some of the things these people say. And I've been in a lot of contract cases, and I just can't believe what lawyers have said, what people have said. They just lie like it's nothing. And they're never held accountable. But there is no sworn affidavit. None. And therefore there is no case.
You're confusing affirmations with declarations. An affirmation is made and you're held accountable through the laws of perjury, and they can put you and do put you in jail.
Yeah, well, they never do, and I haven't seen a lawyer go to jail yet for that, and they never will hold them in a court of law because then they'll set a precedence that maybe they don't want there. You know, they're really good at cleansing the cases, you know, and they'll do it in mid case as they're going on, or sometimes they'll wait a little while and cleanse them later. But they don't want anything bad in the record that's going to get anyone in trouble. But you'll see all these affirmations and their lies, and nobody is ever held accountable because you can't. They have to do it under a sworn statement. You know, you go back even 20, 30 years ago, maybe a little longer, they had the Bible. I haven't seen a Bible in court since I've been going to court. I haven't seen a Bible there yet. You know, matter of fact, next time I go to court, I'm bringing my own Bible so we can make sure that anyone talks, let's put their hand on this first and tell me that you're telling the truth, because they're not held accountable. But anyway, we'll talk some more. Maybe next week we'll talk about this again, okay?
All right.
All right, thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Okay, so anybody who could make it out to Maud's place, it's really, really important. I want to let you know we did a habeas corpus. It's very close to the wire. It was served last Monday. Let me think. Oh, yeah, last Monday. The lawyers did a maneuver, we think, but the papers were refused by the lawyers and some other people. And I'm not sure whether they directly refused it or if it was just a confusion. But in any event, they were refused. They were then resent out on Tuesday overnight, so they went out Wednesday. Well, actually Tuesday, but then we faxed. We faxed these people on Tuesday, so they've been served on Tuesday when they really were served on Monday. But they were served on Tuesday. Wednesday is the first day, Thursday, second, Friday, third day. 3 days they have to answer habeas corpus. That's the law. Unchangeable, cannot be changed. It is 3 days. So they got 3 days to answer. As we always see, because they will not come up and swear, that they're required to come with sworn statements, sworn affidavits, and they have not. And they haven't come out with any statements. So they defaulted. We sent out over the weekend by fax. We sent out the default. We sent a paper to the sheriff, particularly, and with a cover sheet, and we also sent it out to the auctioneer so that they have a copy of the case, and they have a copy. Well, the sheriff got a copy of the case because he was served, but now they both have a copy by fax. Okay, the default and the memorandum of decision of the default. So they got a copy of both. Plus, we sent overnight copies of the same thing to the sheriff and to the auctioneer. The rest of them got them by mail, okay? And they also, the courts we served by certified mail because we don't want them to play their slick games, and we want to make sure that we can hold them accountable because this has been recorded. So all the paperwork is there. Maud has a couple extra copies of originals that she'll have. I think Harold from Long Island is going to try to be out there. Last I spoke with him, that's his intention. He does know the sheriff, maybe not too well, maybe well. I don't know particularly, but he does have some knowledge of the sheriff. So maybe he'll be out there. So if they try to close, we let them know in the paperwork, on a cover letter to the sheriff particularly, and also to the auctioneer. Should they try to, we told them they are to abate all movements and motions towards to seize this property. They are to abate from it. And that's what the paperwork says ultimately, but we wanted to put it on a front paper. We also let them know that if they were to go forward and ignore this, this would be contempt of court, and it would also be a crime. It would ultimately be felony rescue. I don't think we mentioned that in the paper, but that's what we will go after them for. But it'll be contempt of court, and it'll be a crime. And so they know. And we need the people out there with the papers in their hands. We need really one person with the real paper in the hand, but people behind them. So if the sheriff should come out there, because he needs to be out there for the final seizure of the property, even though they have someone else auctioneering it off, we need to let these people know we are going to indict. We are going to hold them accountable if they defy the court. And it's a federal court, and it was written appropriately, and there was a tribunal. The grand jury was the tribunal of this court, and they need to obey the law. So we need to get support out there to encourage the sheriff and also, well, we don't care too much about the auctioneer, but we will hold him accountable, of course. The real power out there is the sheriff. We need to make sure he understands he's there to protect the people. This was fraud. The habeas corpus was done. They defaulted. That's the law of the land. And you break that law of the land, you are in bad behavior. And if you're in bad behavior, we're going to remove you from office through an indictment. And that's the way it's going to have to be. But anyway, please, anybody that can get out there to Maud's place, please get out there. Okay, let me move on. I want to get, let's see, I think this is, where, oh, there it is. Okay, I believe this is Paul. Paul, is this you, 631?
Do you hear me?
I think I just unmuted. I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay, good. Hey, Brad, I just want to let you know that I happen to know Maud very well. This is all going on right here in my backyard where I live. So if anybody's going to show up to try to stand with her and you're lost and you need directions, feel free to call me. Maud asked me to be there to stand with her, and I intend on doing so. She is a good woman. So we'll do our best not to leave her alone. The only other reason, I'm going to be very quick tonight. I don't want to sound like an infomercial. I just want you to look back at the July and August and realize how quickly things happen in today's world. I mean, in Greece, overnight, they closed the banks. People in this country lost billions of dollars in the Puerto Rican bond market default. Look how quickly we could have been sucked down the drain with China. And this China stuff is not over. We are joined at the hip with them, mostly thanks to our own government facilitating, sending all of our manufacturing over there. But they are in a bubble that's going to crash like our housing did however many years ago it was, 7-8 years ago. It's already like Florida after the housing bust in China. Empty buildings, roads to nowhere, bridges to nowhere. We're heavily invested in them, and they're heavily invested in us. So this isn't over yet. The market tried to recover, but all in all, it was at 17.5 and ended up being at 16.5 today. It's down 1,000 points. And not because our market was unhealthy, just it shows you how these things can have dramatic effects on our economy and how vulnerable our government has left us in this big shell game that they're playing with 0% interest. Just like John was saying about, that they can do anything and fix it all tomorrow. Well, tomorrow just gets closer and closer, and tomorrow comes very quickly in this world. And the reason I bring that up is you got to build a war chest, especially silver. When you see $14.68 an ounce on the futures market, you have to remember where these paper prices come from, the futures market, where they don't deliver it physically. There is a severe shortage of silver. Silver is in very short supply. Those of you who are a bit more savvy at this, I'm all over the computer. I'm all over everybody's website. I know all the most reputable players in this throughout the country. Everybody's out of stock, or they're just saying unavailable, or they're letting you order and wait for delivery down the road, which I'm not too fond of, quite frankly. There's a real, real silver shortage. Again, I'm going to advocate, people want silver coins. People want silver, the original money in this country. They want real money. If everybody started wanting it, because right now just people who are fearful and in the know, if everybody started wanting it, there is not enough right now to go around. There's just not enough. Right now, there's barely enough. So I guess I have to say, take advantage. I know all the competitor prices. I made a pact with John to help NLA people. The prices are way below market prices and free shipping. It's something to be taken advantage of. But And there's a lot of people out there, because I've had a few calls on this, advocating getting rid of your gold to get silver with. And that's because, you know, there is such a silver shortage, and silver's so cheap right now. I particularly don't advocate that. When one flies, the other goes with it, basically. One's more global, one's more here. Silver's more here, gold is more of a global thing that World Bank's buy. Unless you're really weighted heavily in gold and you don't have any silver or you have very little, and if that's the case, you know, we'll trade, that's all, and reallocate you. But otherwise, I'm not telling people to sell gold like some of these people are doing to get silver. But it does let you know how much the silver's starting to disappear. And it's dissipating at an incredible level. Go all over the computer. Look at everybody. Look at JM Bullion. Look at Atmex. Look at Kitco. I know them all. And by the way, our prices are less than all of them. But they're all out of stock. Or when they get it in stock, the prices are very high right now. So the physical delivery with this stuff is starting to become a much bigger deal than I've ever seen it, as opposed to the paper price. So and remember, they can't deliver on those futures contracts. If there's not enough silver for a physical grab in this country, there's certainly not enough to fill hundreds of thousands of ounces in futures contracts. So when everybody's going to start buying this, it's going to be very expensive, or you're not going to be able to get it. So just start building your war chest, because like John said, they destroyed the food, the water, the culture, you know, yada, yada, yada. The economy's on that drawing board, okay? It's part of the agenda. So I just wanted to put those 2 cents in tonight. And I'll be there for you if you're listening more on Wednesday. Make sure you call me tomorrow. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. Okay, I see Maud is in the queue, so let me unmute Maud. I think she might have something to say concerning this or whatever she wants to bring up.
Hi, John.
How are you doing? Good to hear from you.
I don't know if you still want to support the people calling up the sheriff's office.
Oh, good idea. I'll talk. Well, Brad's on the phone, on the line with us right now, so Brad, we should get a campaign going calling up the sheriff's office. Can you give the phone number for the sheriff?
Yeah, it's 631.
631. Go ahead.
852.
852.
2205.
2205. Now, I'm going to repeat that. This is the sheriff's office. Anybody from anywhere across the nation can get on the phone and make sure, you know, give a call to the sheriff. Be very, very polite and nice. Don't give them a hard time. Just say that you're concerned about what's going on and want to make sure that the law is being enforced by the sheriff, that he's obeying the Constitution, and that a habeas corpus has been done, and anybody who violates it will be held accountable. But be very, very kind and nice. Here again is the sheriff. What's the sheriff's name? Do you recall?
Sheriff Vincent F. DeMarco.
Vincent DeMarco. Sheriff DeMarco. DeMarco.
Yeah, DE and then capital MARCO.
Okay.
Is he a real sheriff or is he appointed?
Oh, no. I think he's...
No, he's elected.
Right. Yeah, he's elected. The other one, I think it's the... Nassau County is the one where they got the appointed one. The sheriff himself is elected. But you know what? Even the one that would be appointed, he's called a sheriff. He would hold his feet to the fire, too, if we had to. But anyway, Sheriff DeMarco, DeMarco, phone number 631-852-2205. And everyone should give a call to the sheriff, let him know we're watching. Do this during the day, you know, Eastern time, maybe between 9 and 4 would be the appropriate time to try to get the message out to him. Tomorrow is a good day to call, and early in the morning on Wednesday, you know, before 10 o'clock, because he'll be heading out for that closing at 11 to shut it down, we hope, because that's what he needs to do.
And you got to use the words, this is an unlawful sale. Just everybody should repeat that in his brain. This is an unlawful sale.
And proven by a habeas corpus defaulted. proven by that, and that's the law of the land. So, again, please, everybody get involved, let's do what we got to do. We will be reporting on this next week. So, anything else you'd like to say, Maud?
No, just thanks.
Okay.
Thank you to everybody, to you in particular, John, for your tremendous support.
We appreciate it.
To everybody in the National Liberty Alliance, I hope that my particular case will become a model that we can then use to save lots and lots of people's houses.
And we intend on doing so.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Maud. I appreciate it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to... Okay, I cleared the queue. Nobody get into the queue yet. Now, what I want to do is I want to get on to focus in on people who have cases. Just to let everyone know, anybody who has put a case into the IRC, used to be the IRT, it's still the same thing. Instead of calling a team, it really should have been called committee. That was changed a long time ago. Originally was committee, and then it was kind of changed because it sounded good, I guess. I don't know why. But really, it's the committee, so it's IRC. That group has grown tremendously and continues to grow, and it needs to be the largest group on National Liberty Alliance. Should be the IRC group. That's where the action is. That's where people are learning to write. That's where people are really getting involved in the nitty-gritty right on the front lines right there in the IRC group. In order to join the IRC group, obviously you have to be a member of National Liberty Alliance, but you also have to be enrolled in our civics course. So you either take in the civics course or have completed it, or you enroll now and you're in it, but you got to be taking it. You can get into the IRC. Because we want people to be educated in the IRC. They need to understand what they're doing and learn to do a good job at it. People should consider joining that group. What else? I guess we'll move on to the next. We're going to now take people who have sent in papers to the IRC. And what I'd like to say is anybody that sent papers into the IRC should go to intake and go to nationallibertyalliance.org, okay? And you can get to the intake a couple of ways. First, let me explain. We did put a new banner up on National Liberty Alliance on the top right-hand side of our website, right under the 50 States Constituted. You'll see a banner there. And it's got a happy face with a frown. And he's holding up a sign, "Help." And we are letting people know that anybody with tax, mortgage, foreclosures, U.S. tax court problems, probate court, family court, CPS, APS, or anybody that has been unlawfully imprisoned, the grand jury can help. Click here for help. And so if people click on that that banner there, anybody coming to our site, this will lead them down the path of assistance. They'll need to read the papers, see the page here. There's not too much information, but they must become a member. They must attend Monday night calls. They need to take a civics course, and they need to become involved. And they need to do all this because we will assist them for free, and we will help them, and they should return the favor by working with us to save America, because freely they have received, freely they need to give. Okay, so people need to be doing the right thing. They need to become educated, and they need to be helping their neighbor, and they should be helping all their neighbors to save America. Now, right below down on the bottom, it depends on what kind of case you have. You would click the appropriate, tax, problem here. If it's a home tax, foreclosure, mortgage, so on and so forth, probate court. So let's say you clicked unlawfully imprisoned, okay? Most of the calls that came into the IRC has come in through this portal. Even though the probate courts, the family courts, the CPS, and the APS is now coming through the same portal, but it's got different forms to fill out. So if you get here to the unlawfully imprisoned and/or foreclosures page, okay, you'll get some instructions. Now down on the bottom you'll find Catherine's phone number, and so anybody who's got a case should call Catherine, okay, 831 972-3286. But go onto this page, read this stuff, and find it, and get the phone number. Call her and let her know your name and that there's a case in there, and make sure she's got you in the queue. Make sure that she has everything that's necessary. If she's missing anything, she will let you know. And then you'll get it for her, and then your case will be in the queue. We are moving on cases now. Right now we're focusing mostly on CPS cases because all those cases are ready to go. We're still organizing all of the CPS cases, and we need some missing information here or there and confirmations or whatever. So get out there and do it. Anybody, that has a case in should get a hold of Catherine. Now, before we go back to the queue, I just want to go down the right side of our website here. We have, the frown face, from the happy face to the frown face. So that's a new thing, and I think we're going to get a lot of people that are going to come on to our site and look for help and hopefully join our endeavor, and we'll be able to assist them at the same time. But there are things here, everything we sell on National Liberty Alliance, we did it only because we believe you need the product. So we only give products that we only get involved with products that really make sense to what we the people are doing and what we the people need. And of course, it's a way in order to try to support our endeavor here to pay for the bills. And we don't make a lot of money here, but we have been getting $70 here and $100 there through these things we're selling. So we're thankful those who are using us to buy the products that they really need. And we believe the best products and the best services out there. We truly believe that. Silver Lungs, I don't believe you can beat. I know someone says, oh, you can get it a lot cheaper than that, but you're not going to get Silver Lungs. Silver Lungs has a magnetic stirrer sitting inside of it, and I don't know of anyone that's got a magnetic stirrer. You can make both types of colloidal silver solutions. What are the two types, Gerard? Can you tell me? I forget. Okay, maybe you're not there. Well, if you come back or you heard that, pipe in. You're muted if you're talking. But anyway, colloidal silver. People need this. If you were wounded or had somebody major injury, you need this stuff. To pour this on the compresses, to put it onto the wound for killing bacteria, cleaning the womb, and encouraging healing, it's unbelievable. We saw a picture of a child who, I don't know what happened, maybe it was grease or something, hot grease off of a stove or something. This child's whole left side of the chest was just burnt. Literally, the nipple was burnt right off of this little child. And they immediately were compressing the child through until they were totally healed with the colloidal silver. And they showed the child's burn. It was horrific. And then the child today, you wouldn't even know that he had a burn. So it is really great with wounds. It's great for drinking. These are silver. The silver is really what it does is it uses the silver to get a silver electrical charge in the water is what it does. You're not actually taking in silver into the body. It's the silver charge in the water that you're getting into the body, and that's where the healing powers are. But anyway, colloidal silver, we think we have the best out there for this. Food independence. I don't know that there's anyone that is doing better than the prices that we're giving out there on this, and especially the quality of food. And again, one can, you buy the right size can, maybe $150 or something around that neighborhood, and that's enough food in there to feed a family of four for 4 weeks. Okay, so you can buy a can a month and put it away and store for the emergency. Silver coins, again, East End Rare Coins, that was Paul, he was on tonight, and he gives us the best price on silver. We have Survival Seed Vault, $37.95. You wouldn't believe the amount of seeds you get for $37.95. It's huge. And you will have plenty of seed for survival, and you can't beat that price. You just can't beat it. So, again, these products support us when you buy from them, and these are products that people need. We do have a few other products that we need to get into, but, just a matter of time trying to set it up. And we're still trying to set up a store, an NLA store, which will, sell T-shirts and hats and bumper stickers and just a whole bunch of different things. that and business cards, NLA cards, you know, different things that will support National Liberty Alliance. And so, again, we need the support. I hate to spend so much time on these things, but on the other hand, these are important things to spend time on anyway. But we do need the support. We need the money. We got a lot of things going, a lot of mailing going out, a lot of faxing, a lot of work, and it doesn't come for free. So, okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to take into the queue first anybody who has – I'm going to clear the queue again. I only want people for the first 30 seconds, and I'll let you know when that 30 seconds is up, people who have cases, people who have questions concerning their cases that they've come to us. And so those people should get into the queue right now. While they're getting into the queue, I'd like to say I have received over the years endless. I have no idea how many papers that I have received. I mean, just tons and tons of papers, people sending me copies of their cases. People have got to stop sending me copies of their cases. There's nothing I can do for you there. I'm not a lawyer. I can't represent you. I can't write your papers for you. I can't tell you what to do in all these individual cases. Unless I give up what I'm doing with National Liberty Alliance and go full-time there, and I still wouldn't be able to keep up with all the people that have mailed me stuff. I don't have time to read it. I can't do the case. But what we have done, it took a while for us to get there, we have done is we have prepared cases that we can deal with. And again, on our right side of the case, on the top right, it tells you right there how we can help you. If you have a tax mortgage foreclosure problem, if you have a U.S. tax court problem, if you have a probate court problem, if you have a family court problem, if you have a CPS, APS court problem, if you have an unlawful imprisoned problem, we can help all those cases through habeas corpus. Do not call me to get the habeas corpus. Don't call me or send me papers unless you're told to send me papers. You go on site, you click on the button, you follow the process, you follow all the information, you fill out the forms, you contact the intake individual, and they will work the completion out with you. They'll confirm when your case is done or ready to go into the queue, and then you'll get a call when that case is going to be filed. And it should happen pretty quick now. We may be a couple of weeks behind, but I think soon we'll be able to be right on top of this thing, maybe try to churn these out in a week or two and actually get them filed in a week or two. If you have a situation where you are going to court and you're coming and they're going to court tomorrow or next week, we can't respond that quickly. But we can give you some ideas. I mean, people could go into the court and say to the court that, that you object to the process. You can mention, you can ask for them to, have the case thrown out because they don't have the jurisdiction. You can tell them that you're talking to the grand jury, okay? No need to mention the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, but just tell them you're talking to the grand jury. And if they can't do the right thing here in the court, you're going to continue to talk with them, and they are interested in your case. And maybe you'll have to hear from them for them to do the right thing. So that may be helpful, but you got to be careful. That could turn against you. So you have to be a bold person, and you got to play it by ear. The other thing is you can ask for an extension. If you're going in and you don't have a lawyer, okay, tell them you're ready to play ball. You're getting counsel. You need 30 more days to get counsel. If you've been giving them a hard time, they'll love to hear that. They'll think you're going to get a lawyer. Let them think whatever they want. You're going to get counsel. And they want you to come back with a lawyer because they can deal with him, and they can then get together and screw you together. But, of course, that'll give you an extra 30 days to work through the process to get your paperwork done, and then we can hammer them with justice, okay? So that's one way. There are other things. You can make a motion in the court. If you know how to write a motion, make a motion in the court, kind of push the court in a different direction. So those are some of the things you could do to stall. That's what you want to do is stall. If you're under the pressure, under the gun, and you're getting to us late, find ways to stall. Maybe people that are calling in tonight, if they have some ideas or things that worked for them on how they were able to stall a case, then maybe they can share that, and people can glean off of those people that have that. Okay, anybody else that wants to get into the queue? The queue is now open to anybody. We do have a few callers in here, it seems, that have a question or concern concerning the cases we're running through. So queue is open, star six to get into the queue. You can get in now. Let me take the first caller. It is 434 number. You've been unmuted. You got the mic. 434.
Okay, last John.
Yes.
You're working on a case with Dawn Jobson, and she's on the phone here with me. Dawn?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, you have a question?
Okay, Dawn.
John, my name is Dawn Jobson, and I filed the IRC papers along with my affidavit and all the applicable paperwork that needed to go with this case.
Uh-huh.
And I have your National Alliance Liberty up on my screen, and I wanted to send a donation in, and I gave all my credit card information, and then it brings up PayPal. Well, I don't want to use PayPal. I'm at a loss of what to do with this. But what I'm, like I...
Yeah, what we
what
have
I'm
is, you know, one of the things is just so you know that one of the, if you're given a monthly donation... it is true that they won't, for some reason, allow you to use just any credit card. But if you go below that and if you're given a one-time donation, they will take credit cards there. And if you go further down, there'll be an address for a National Liberty Alliance. It's in Hyde Park, New York. You can send a check or money order to there directly.
Oh, okay. Now, my question is, like, I want to give a donation. I'm trying to register. I forgot my password when I did it 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I can't seem to get through, but I'd let the name of my case is the New Hampshire case.
Okay.
What I'd like to know is it any way possible for me to find out if the New Hampshire case is being worked on?
Yes, you can call Catherine at 831. You got a pen and paper?
Okay. I'm right here, 831.
Okay, 831-272-3286. I'll repeat that. 831-272-3286. Call her during the day. Gary, Catherine is on the East Coast, isn't she? Or is she on California?
Well, she's California time, so she's...
Okay, so she's West Coast. Okay, so remember
okay,
the time
and I'm
zone
on the,
is
I'm in Massachusetts.
Yeah, so you're the East Coast. Remember, if you called her at 9 o'clock in the morning, you'd be calling her at 6. So if you want, you should call her maybe at noontime till 7 o'clock at night. That's the area time
okay.
you should be calling.
Yeah,
noontime for you would be 9 a.m. for her, and that I guess would be a good time to call her. So remember, she's Eastern. By the way, let's get Eastern Standard Time next to Catherine. I had all the zones on the name, so let's get that done. And she seems to be a loner here on the one page for the affidavits coming through for unlawfully imprisoned and foreclosures. I thought we had four people,
well,
but
that's
work
what
that
my
out, Gary.
About it.
Yeah, well, we had one of our intake coordinators just abruptly drop.
Okay, so let's get another one. Look, let's work with three, and we'll get a fourth if we need, and so on. Okay,
right.
Let's do what we got to do. But
also
make sure you get the time zones that they're in so that people know the appropriate times to call. Yeah, go right ahead. What was your first name again?
Dawn, D-A-W-N.
Dawn, D-A-W-N. All right, go ahead, Dawn.
Okay. I've been reading all the rules and regulations and listening to you since you came on tonight just about. And they're saying that I have to have made a donation, and I have to take the civics course, which I haven't been able to do because I can't get past getting a new password.
Okay,
so
let me explain how to do that. If you go in to sign in, use your email address that you signed in with originally. Use that as your username, and then click the button "Send me a new password." They will then transport you into your, account area, where you'll then be able to change your password. So go in, use your email from your computer, use your email, and click "Send me a new password," and then they will put you. Then you'll get into account, your account, and you'll see, create a new password. It says create a new password and write it down somewhere. If you have a problem with that, look for Gary. You'll find him on the directory as a national coordinator, and Gary should be able to help you. And again, if you call these people and you don't get them, just leave a message on their machines. They'll get back to you.
Yeah, send me an email. Send me an email to gary@nationallibertyalliance.org.
If you can't get it.
Okay, Gary.
Okay. Now, once you do that.
All of the information, my affidavit and my IRC information, I filled it all out. My brother sent it from his computer because he's
okay,
a computer
just
guru.
Go through it with Catherine, and if she's got everything, she should be able to get you into the queue. She'll pull your file right up, and she'll talk to you about that file. She'll look into your file. If you're missing anything, she'll tell you to get it. If you're not, then she would have then gone through it, say it's okay, and then she will immediately move it over into the queue area, which is where that means we'll be working on it.
Excellent.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Now,
John.
Yeah, hold on.
John,
one other thing, though, about this. Hang on a second. One other thing. In the, to get to the civics course, as I'm sure you know, you have to sign in to get to that. We have done a lot of repair on this civics course, and we're getting... I haven't heard a complaint in a long time. That doesn't mean there hasn't been any, but there might be a few. Mostly, when you can't go forward and you kind of get stuck, you clean your cookies out and refresh the browser, or even try another browser. You know, if you're using Firefox, go to Chrome and then get into the course doing Chrome for a while, or even use Microsoft. Microsoft seems to have a lot of problems, I think. But then once you get to a problem with that, shift back.
John, I have to admit I'm not a computer guru, and I'm having a very difficult time with all of this. And I want to make sure
What we'll do is this, is if you do have a problem and you can't get anywhere, you go up to the civics course, you highlight the civics course, and you click on Help with Quiz, okay? And you'll get Kathleen's address, okay? And you'll send her an email, okay? And tell her your problem. And then she can check into the problem. Make sure you put your phone number in there. She may answer by email or she may call you up. If it's
What's
a
her name
thing,
again?
Kathleen.
Okay.
Just go to highlight this. Once you're signed in, highlight civics course, come down, click help with quiz. Okay. And she will assist you in any way that she can. Again, sometimes she may take a day to get to you because she's busy and has other things to do, but she'll get back to you within 24 hours, and she should be able to assist you with that. And if you need to know how to clean the cookies out, she should be able to tell you, I would imagine. But if not, try Gary. But we should write something on – hold on a minute. Gary, we should write something up on how to clean the cookies out for people, and this way, that's an option for them to try before they even call Kathleen.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll run through. I'll talk with Carl yesterday about creating a script for.
Yeah, talk with him yesterday. Don't wait till tomorrow, though.
All right.
Talk with him yesterday.
All right.
Did you get that?
I did.
Okay, good.
So John time. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
John.
Yes,
this is Jim Cook. There was two other things I want to bring to your attention, and I think National Liberty Alliance may have had an impact. There was a judge, court judge out in California, who just recently ruled that over 250 district attorneys were corrupt and he wouldn't listen to the cases. So they've been put on the side. And as soon as I heard that, I'm thinking, wow, maybe it's some of the work that you did that is causing this judge to rethink what's going on in the courts out there. And he was warned by a lot of people, don't go there. You should go there. You maintain the status quo. And he didn't do that. He just ruled about 250 DAs out in California in this one area, I forget where, but he pretty much says, nope, you guys are corrupt and you're doing things wrong. And he kind of set them dry pretty much. But,
we believe we're getting a lot of impact. There's no doubt in our minds about it. And just consider this. Jade Helms hasn't happened, and they're not even talking about it. And we, there's no doubt in my mind that we stopped Jade Helm. You know, we sent, go out and read the papers we sent to the governors, every governor, and none of them would talk to us. They were frightened of us. They were all on vacation, out in meetings. We stopped calling them because we couldn't get them. But you go out and look at the powerful papers that we wrote to the governors, and we let them know in no uncertain terms that they will be guilty of subversion should they allow this on their soil. They are responsible for their state, and they took an oath, and they're supposed to do their duty to the people and obey that Constitution. And the Constitution is clear. It is absolutely clear concerning subversion or anything. It is the militia's job. It is the people's job to suppress subversion, not the military. Our founding fathers would be rolling in their graves the idea that the military would come on our soil, especially foreign military. Our founding fathers would be heading out with the cavalry with weapons to fight them, because they would. It's an appalling situation to think that Chinese troops, Russian troops, or any foreign troops would come onto American soil and do anything. But anyway, Jade Helm has not happened. And tomorrow is September 1st. And recently, we just really pushed heavy, because once we got the fax machines going, we sent out a copy of the paper we sent to the governor, to every elected official in America. So they got it, and they've been hit with it, and they know. And we got a lot more papers to send them. But there's no doubt. Look, there was a court case out, and a lot of people are familiar with this. It was the Stephen Dean case out there in Utah. And he mentioned National Liberty Alliance by name. It was mentioned in the courtroom. And we were considered that sovereign group, terrorists, okay? But we did a habeas corpus for Steve. We got him out of jail, okay? And at the hearing, when they came down, the judge dismissed the entire case. Well, they made some kind of deal. He's going some kind of probation. But they dismissed the case, okay? And the judge said in the courtroom, and we're coming after them because they gave him probation. We're going to overturn that. We just haven't really had the time to do that because we were so busy with so many things. But I think maybe in the next week or two, we're going to head out. We already did an indictment on those people, the judge and everyone out there, for what they have done. But nevertheless, the judge did a 180-degree turn right there in the courtroom and said that these people, National Liberty Alliance, these people are really actually concerned citizens and are not, people who are subverting. I forget the exact words, but something similar to that, because I think the prosecutor was pushing for more, and the judge said no. And he released Stephen that day out of jail. So we definitely are starting to get respect and fear. Remember what Benjamin said, Benjamin Franklin. You know, when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. And that's where we're at. We're going to make them fear the people, the wrath of the people. We're going to get control of our nation through the courts, and we are going to make them fear the people, and we will maintain that fear. And as long as they have that healthy fear of the people, that fear of the fear of not doing the wrong thing, because the people will get them if they do, and we're going to catch them because we're going to watch them like a hawk from our courts, okay? That's when we'll have liberty in America. And when we get into the courts, we will be resetting the clock back to 1789. No doubt in my mind or heart, we're going to bring back the America that our founding fathers envisioned, the America that has the true king of the court, where justice and righteousness go forward. So,
well,
anyway,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
You know, no king but King Jesus, and that's what
Amen.
Our liberty was founded on. And you know, one last thing, and I'll make this real short. When we first started this process with Dawn and you, you had mentioned that you were going to handle this case personally.
Which case is this?
This is the New Hampshire
case.
Where his son is incarcerated.
How long has she been incarcerated? How long has the son been incarcerated? I'm just trying to get a flavor for the case, but go ahead.
Since June 30th.
Okay. All right, yeah, I think I remember this case. I'm waiting for it to go through the process. Give a call to Catherine, make sure she has all the papers, and because he's been in that long, tell Catherine that I said, and she's probably listening, to push that towards the front. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
Anything else?
John, God bless you, and keep up the work. We can see with what's going on now in California with that case I mentioned, everything else, that you're doing God's work. So
we have it all over the nation. Amen. Thank you, and to God be the glory on this. You know, all over the nation,
absolutely.
We're getting reports. We're starting to get word that sheriffs want to talk to us. Now we haven't talked with them yet, and that hasn't come to fruition yet. And we're hoping it's going to come soon, but we're waiting, and we're going to see what's going to become of that. And we have a lot of things on the back burner that we cannot talk about. That's going to blow the minds of the people once they see what we're doing and where we're doing and how we're doing it. And that hopefully will be in the very near future, we'll be able to reveal that. But there are people working, you know, almost 24/7, so to speak, on this. You know, we got our minds focused on a case that is huge. And we're not going to say no more. Okay?
Great, John. God bless.
Thank you. You too. Okay, let us take our next caller. Let's see, Heather from Indiana. Gerard, are you around, by the way? I want to pass the mic to you shortly.
I don't get to nap anymore?
No, no more naps. I get to nap now. But in a short while, I want to pass it to you. I just want to make sure you're around. Go get yourself water or whatever you need. Heather from Indiana, you've been unmuted. 765. 765. Thought
yeah,
I heard
hi.
Something. How you doing?
My question is, I have a case that I had sent in to Catherine. The affidavit I sent her, I had to redo it. How long before a court date do you have to have your things in? Because my court date is coming up on the 24th, and it's coming down to crunch time, and I'm getting real
nervous. Okay, and what are they threatening you with?
It's a misdemeanor case, assault battery against an officer.
Okay, and we should be able to get to it by then, we hope. You know, we're doing triage right now, and when they're putting these cases together, they'll be putting little notes down on the bottom concerning the case, and if there is a time thing there, we'll try to kind of push that case ahead. So please make sure you put a note like that, and we'll try to do the best we can. Also, you know, if we can't get to your case in time, then, you know, there are different ways that people can kind of stall out the court. Maybe Ed from Connecticut can get on into the queue because he had a lot of great ideas, and I think he can articulate some of them better than I can. But there, you know, there are different things you can do in the court. You can make different motions. You can, if you're in there, do you have a lawyer with you?
No, I don't. I know
okay.
that they have.
So you know, when you go in, you tell the if you have to go in before we could do anything, you go in and say, hey, look, you know, I money is tight for me, and I need some money, and I'm looking for counseling, and I think I might have some counseling. And if I can get another 30 days, I can have some counseling to be able to help me with this case. Now, of course, the counseling you're talking about is really us. They don't need to know that, okay, necessarily. Of course, there could be another strategy, but I don't know whether I would use it yet. But it's something that I think in the near future people can use is that, look, you know, this case needs to be dismissed because you don't have jurisdiction. And if this case is not dismissed, I am talking with the grand jury, and they are interested in my case. So maybe we'll go that route. Or you can just dismiss this case because you don't have the jurisdiction. Now, you could try that, but you'd better be careful with that because unless you're kind of savvy, you know, you may not be able to do it as well as someone that has a little bit of understanding of the court. We'll do our best to move it along. Make sure that you get all your paperwork. Does Catherine have all your paperwork? Have you spoke with her recently?
She said the only thing that I needed was to redo my affidavit and cut and paste it and get it into her, and I did that today.
Okay,
I sent it to her this morning.
Okay. All right. Yeah, affidavits, and this is very important. don't do long affidavits. I mean, maybe your story is long and you might need two or three pages, but generally speaking, one or two pages should do it, usually. Tell the story as if you were talking to a friend or a neighbor to say, hey, look, you know what happened to me yesterday? And tell the story exactly the way it happened. You know, I was walking down Main Street. I was coming up on 41st Street, and this cop came around the corner and just knocked me down and pinned me on the floor, beat the heck out of me, and other cops came over. They didn't do anything. They all participated. I ended up having to go to the hospital, and, you know, just tell your story. And I was drugged into court. I was incarcerated for a day. They let me on my own recognizance, or I had to put up a bail, or whatever the case may be. You know, just tell your story as if you were talking to someone else. And try to make paragraphs, small paragraphs. It's easy to read small paragraphs, not three pages with one paragraph. And put in dates, times, places, locations, you know. You can do, if you're not exactly sure, you could say on or about approximately 3 p.m., you know, I was on Main Street around 42nd Street, you know, the intersection, or whatever the case may be, you know, but do not go in there talking as a lawyer on your thing. Don't be talking about that they violated your unalienable rights. Just tell them what they did. The unalienable rights part is done on the other paperwork. Just tell your story. Don't say you're the man on the land, you're a child of God, you got blood pumping in your veins. Don't say any of those things. Don't talk about 42 and 18, U.S. codes 42 and 18, they violated and they did this, that. Don't talk about any of those things. An affidavit is a simple story with just the facts, clearly written, and ultimately you're writing it for the jury. The jury will never see it because you'll never have to go into a court anyway, but the grand jury will see it. And so you're just saying the facts exactly the way it is, keeping it simple, and then we'll put all the paperwork together and we'll get your signatures and so on and so forth. So just do it simply. And there's some instructions on the affidavits that you can download and do, but it sounds like you've got it pretty much done. I wanted to say this for others who may have cases or so that they understand. Affidavits are simple, not complex. It's not lawyer talk. You're not talking about your rights being violated. You're not going to bring up USC codes, nothing. Just tell the story. But go ahead, Heather, anything else?
No, I just, I do have a case summary that says, you know, they entered a plea on my behalf and
Did he find you not guilty?
No, I have a chronological case summary.
Yeah, but
I thought
he entered a plea. What, did he enter a guilty plea for you?
No, they entered a not guilty plea on my behalf.
Oh, well, then the judge made a decision. We should make that point. We will make that point, maybe. Well, actually, we won't make that point because he didn't have the jurisdiction to do anything. But it is interesting. You could make that argument in court. Well, Your Honor, you've already said I'm not guilty. I didn't make a plea. You made a plea for me. And thank you very much. Am I free to leave now? See, that's what I would do if I was in a court under your condition. But then again, you got to understand, you got to feel out the judge. He may try to get you for contempt. If you're in the lower courts, they're too dumb to do that, but they could, but it's rare. That would really happen usually in the state courts, the county courts, you know, that are really the state courts. That might happen there. So you do have to be careful how you talk to a judge, and you have to do it respectfully. You know, again, if you don't know how to talk, you're better off not talking at all and try to buy time for a lawyer, you know, counsel.
This particular judge has already held me in contempt once, and I spent 8 days in jail. So
you know, yeah, got to be careful then. You know it then, yes.
Right. I'm walking a fine line, and they did appoint a public defender, which I didn't really agree to. But
well, again, tell Catherine that you've already done 8 days for contempt and you're going back on the 24th, and that'll help us in our triage. We will take your case up faster than other people's cases because you're facing jail.
Yeah, I'm facing 6.5 months to 2 years is what he told me.
Yeah, these people are evil. So,
okay.
But we'll help.
I thank you.
Well, I believe we'll be successful. I do truly believe that, so. Okay?
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Okay, let's see, next caller, Mark or Mary, 161.
Wait, John, can you hold on one moment?
Okay, hold on 161. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have under the civics course, there's a new page for troubleshooting that will take everybody through all the steps for Internet Explorer, Mozilla Firefox, and Chrome for deleting temporary files, cache, cookies, and other troublesome issues that arise during the civics course.
Okay, can we, let me take a look. Let me refresh my page and let me make a suggestion maybe. This is under civics course, highlighting civics course.
Yes.
And hang on, my page is refreshing. So I'll see the new stuff. Okay. Okay, civics course, and you've got help with
quiz. Oh, it's not showing
up.
It's not showing up.
Okay, let me suggest this. Okay,
yeah.
Let me suggest this. If you go there and click on help with quiz,
yeah.
Okay, then put that information right here. Let's see, problems with quiz. Okay, move the email and Catherine and everything down and say first try these things, and
yeah,
then if these don't succeed, then get a hold of Catherine.
Then get
okay?
Kathleen. I'll do that. I'll fix that. All right.
Do it that way.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go back to our next caller. Is this Mary?
Yes. Hi, John.
How
Hi,
you doing,
Gerard. Man? I'm great. Hey. Gerard, before you do that, I found a really simple solution. You guys know how computer challenged I am.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm taking the test, I actually try and challenge myself and fill answers in before I listen to the recording.
Uh-huh.
And every once in a while, I've had them wrong. And when I go and put in the right one, it doesn't accept it. It still tells me that I'm wrong. All I do is go up and click on one of the other topics on the banner, welcome, media. I go out of the civics course and click on media, and then I click back on civics course, and I put in my answers. So you don't even have to delete your cookies.
Okay, so that's something else to try. Gary, make sure you get that one up there, too, as maybe the first one to try.
Actually, I was Skyping somebody, and I missed that.
Okay.
Well, she's just refreshing her browser by doing that. In other words, she's going out of that page, into another page, and back into that one. It's the same as refreshing the browser.
Yeah.
And that clears out any wrong answers that I had.
No, it does not do that.
Pardon me?
Sometimes
it does.
No, what it does is it allows her to move forward sometimes, what she's saying.
Yeah,
okay.
I've never had to go to Catherine. It always clears it out for me and lets me put the right answers in, and I click it and it accepts it and takes me to the next segment.
You know, the other thing, Gary, is that there's a possibility, and I think this was brought up, that sometimes there may be a space before a word or after the word or whatever, something like that.
Right.
And I don't know if you know how to get access to the civics course, and you can follow right through and check for that. I don't think Catherine has ever looked at that. If Catherine's listening, maybe that's something when people have problems, this is something to definitely check on that page to see if there's a space before or after. Because if there is a space after, it'll take it as part of the answer, possibly, and therefore when you stop at the last letter and you don't give it that extra space, it doesn't go on, you know? So that's a possibility on our side to look for it. But anyway, what else, Mary?
Okay, the other thing, and I'll make this very brief, like to regroup the media,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to need people who are willing to participate in the committee that have
okay,
some
so
skills.
You are you taking up the committee chairman?
If that's what you would like, yes.
Okay, is that what we got set up, Gary, or do we have someone for that yet?
No, we don't have somebody for that, but what I'm looking to do is get people that each have specific expertise. I want to get people who Twitter, some people who Instagram, people who Facebook.
Right.
And
We still need a chairman.
Huh?
We still need a chairman.
We need a chair, but I want to make sure that we get, and I don't want people thinking, oh, the chair position's gone. I would like to have, you know, co-chairs that are specific in the expertise of the different social media as well as the traditional medias. So really, whoever I can get with the different expertise, I need to send me an email, you know, to Gary at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Well, what we need, I think, and you know, we need to really get together to talk more about this, but what we do need is really to try to get people to allow them to be creative. Get people who are creative with making videos. Get people who are creative and know YouTube well. Get people who are, as you were saying before, you know, the people who can tweet, the people who can do the Facebook, and let's get them really excited and moving, and let them be creative. You know, the only thing we have to do is when a committee does something, a group does it, we'll call them subcommittees inside the media,
right,
because there's lots of them. But they get together, they discuss, they come up with ideas. A person may come up with the whole idea all by themselves and say, this is a, and, you know, bring it up to you, and, you know, you get it through. The only thing that we really have to do is check the words to make sure that we are in harmony, that what they're saying is in harmony with National Liberty Alliance. That's the only approval they need to get. But we want people to be creative and get involved and lead. We want people who are going to lead. But you do have to make sure that what you are claiming or saying is accurate. So you do need that approval once you get a finished work. A few words may be changed, you know, to make it accurate so that you do truly represent what we are doing. So, but go ahead, Mary. Anything else?
I actually have a couple of press releases that I've put together that I need to get to.
Okay.
Who shall I send
Gerard.
It to? Gerard,
are you taking this on, the approvals for that?
What's that?
For people who have things that they want to do, you know, like, for instance, with Don Wright, so are you going to continue this? I mean, Mary's got some press releases. Do you want to take the approval process for that?
Sure.
Okay,
and
so...
did you guys look over that Twitter stuff that I sent you?
Well, I haven't. Gerard, okay. Are you familiar with it?
No.
The Twitter stuff? Okay, did you send it to Gerard at nationallibertyalliance.org?
I believe the three of us were on a Skype, and I dragged it into Skype.
Ah, oh, goodness. So email it to Gerard at nationallibertyalliance.org. He'll give you the approval, and, you know, annoy the heck out of him. You got his phone number, don't you?
Yes, I believe I do.
Annoy him.
Oh,
call him day. Call him at 2 o'clock in the morning.
My phones are all on book this week.
What did he say?
I don't know.
Okay.
What'd you say, Gerard?
I said my phones have been unhooked this week.
Oh, okay. All right, well, anyway.
My magic jack is no longer magic.
Oh, okay.
I have a
All right, well, anyway, get it by email and give him a yell if you need, but always put your phone number in the email so that he can respond back by phone maybe and say, hey, this is good, change this word to that, we're good with that, this is okay, let's fly.
Okay, okay. And yes, and I'm willing to do whatever. If there's someone that's qualified to take the chairmanship, that's fine. I'm not.
Right. I understand.
I'm not about titles or anything. Right. Just, I need to help move this forward, and
right.
I know that it got stagnated. So yes, I'm reaching
well,
out.
Well, I was
for
kind
of
pushing you in
skills.
Other directions too. So, but
I'm working on that too. So,
okay.
I've got stuff that I'll need to talk to you. Because I've got stuff that can, if we're going to have a spot to upload stuff, I already have some things. I've got some pretty good stuff going that would really be a benefit for, and I'd like it available for anybody that wants to go and see. So.
All right, thank
I've,
you, Mary.
Invest a little bit. Okay, thanks, gentlemen. I yield.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate the call. Okay, next person. This is going to be my last. Call here. Gerard, you can take it after this. I'll take Jan.
But also,
right,
we have to remember that we're okay. I'm actually sorry, John. Please continue.
Oh,
I want to wait.
You're not sorry.
No, I'm going to wait on something else.
Okay. Jan, go right ahead.
Yes, you hear me?
Yeah. You're too close to your mic. You're over-modulating. Back off of your mic a little bit.
You're better now?
Much better. Go ahead.
Catherine's working on my project. It's been an interesting experience. I want to thank Gary. He told me I couldn't get going on the civics test. I've had a lot of issues, and I had Kathy try to help, but she said the Geek Squad's coming to help. And
Geek Squad is coming. Okay.
Coming to help, but I called Gary up, and Gary says, well, try a different browser. So I tried... Chrome, and Chrome is working fine, no issues.
Okay.
So for those people who can't
that,
listen
that's
to
what I hate you. Right.
So those people who can't listen to the audio or can't take the test and won't move forward, try a different browser. And thank you very much, Gary, for that.
Okay. Anything else, Ken?
I hate being right that way because it makes it seem arbitrary and it's very frustrating.
Uh-huh. I had a judge visit me with the whole humongous crew. We had these buildings that they wanted to demolish, and we told them we didn't want to demolish them. And we did appeal, and they blew off the appeal, says you have no rights for any appeals. So we went and rebuilt the buildings, had hired three companies and saved the buildings. So when they came out this last week to look at the buildings, they were all done. So and now their focus is no longer on the buildings. They looked at my firewood, and they said, the judge says, you have too much firewood. And she looks at my garden.
When they say firewood, you mean what do you mean? Firewood for burning in
I heat my house with wood, basically.
Okay.
365
And you have too
days.
Much firewood. Ooh.
And she says, I have too much firewood, and then she looks at my garden and she says, well, couldn't some of these things go in the buildings? And so my outdoor garden, above ground garden, is under attack, and my firewood's under attack since we've complied with everything else that they've asked us to, including getting rid of stuff that's in buildings and just in a nightmare. And we're going to court on the, and they want to go after our finances. They want to know the taxes, your credit card information, your 3 years of
income look,
tax.
You need to get out of there. What kind of court is this, a town court?
This is a circuit court. We've been in there over a year. It's costing me humongous.
All right, well, call up, get involved. We'll do the case on you for a habeas corpus. We can get you out of the court.
Yeah, Catherine's working on that. She's I'm patiently waiting. She's asking me to pray. I says, fine, that's good. Prayer's always good.
Absolutely.
My lawyer's going to do a motion to compel them to do an appeal on the IPMC, International Property Maintenance Code, for them to state what, where are we violating what? What items are we violating? But that's just more money for him to drag this thing further down the road.
Right.
So hopefully Catherine will have that all together and send up forward to you so that we can end this nightmare. Because we went through the district court, now we're in the search court, and they're just sucking me dry. And they want my property.
Exactly. Yeah, and anybody else out there that needs help, again, go through the process, clicking on the happy face upside down, which is a frown, and go through that process that we've set up. Don't call me for your case. Don't send me your case. Don't send me email with your case, because I'm not the process. The process is out there. Eventually, I'm not even going to be dealing with a lot of these cases because we're training people, and people will be picking this up quickly, and we have other people who will be doing the finale and mailing it out, and I'll be able to be free for other things. So, but people are being trained, and it's happening, and we're going to do what we have to do. And going to the governor of the universe on everything should be the first order of business. And I'm just going to take opportunity to make a point here that of what we're going to be doing very soon. It's going to be a little while out, a few weeks out, because I got some things I got to get done before I do this. But we're going to go back to our Bible study soon. We'll be broadcasting through Shake and Wake, but it'll be done in this room right here. And we hopefully a lot of people will get involved. We're going to go right into the Gospels. We're going to do a harmony of the Gospels. So we're going to really study the King of the Court, and for people to learn to have that relationship with the King of the Court. After all, we are his bench, the King's bench, and so we need to know who the King is. So I really hope that all the leadership, the people that are involved, the serious people, the godly people, will come to these Bible studies. And it's going to be very in-depth. And we're going to cover all the Gospels and look at all of it. And so hopefully people will come. So I think in a couple of weeks, I'm thinking of doing this, and I'm open for feedback on this. I'm thinking of doing it on Sundays. We were doing it on Saturdays at 7. I think we're going to do it on Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern time. That'll help the people on the West Coast to be up for it if they want to come to it. But that might be a better time. I think we should be doing it on the Lord's Day from 11 a.m. Eastern time. It'll be an hour study probably, and we'll have an hour open forum or a half-hour open forum after that. And we'll hopefully do that every Sunday until we get through all the Gospels. And so we're really going to look at the life of Christ and his words and just get to know the King and pray that we may be one of his. Okay? All right. Anything else, Jan?
So many of my, I think, of rights have been violated throughout this whole process. My first affidavit we put together under guidance with NLA was about 40 pages.
Yeah, way too much. We only bear in mind. Here's the crust of the whole matter. This
right.
is all about jurisdiction and authority, and they have neither. And that's what the habeas corpus is going to do. They're going to say to them, "Look at by what authority?" And you're going to have to answer all this stuff. They will not answer it. Okay. The option is for them to move. And what we are doing is moving you from that court into your own court, which is the court of record, the true court. And in that court, these cases, these charges can't be taken against you. So they can't win there. There is nothing for them to do there. We just got to get you out of that corrupt sandbox you're in.
And NLA will walk me through that whole process there so that I don't have to deal with my lawyer.
Well, we'll take care of all of it.
You need to get rid of your lawyer. I hate to say that. I shouldn't say that.
He sent me a bill for $2,800, and I'm telling my wife not to pay him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look at don't look at if you need a lawyer to buy time, that's one thing. Other than that, or fire your lawyer and go into court and say, hey, look, I have to get rid of my lawyer, but I'm seeking new counsel. So if we don't get in time, I'm seeking new counsel, and I need another 15 or 30 days to get the money up and to work the case out. And don't bring up the money or anything. Just say new counsel. That's it, because you're really coming to us, and you don't want to lie. We will
be
your counsel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're right on the edge. She's ready to write an order to go after my bank accounts and glean any monies that may be left and sell my land next door and put a lien on my house.
Right.
You must have really ticked somebody off. This is a circuit court judge, and she's actually coming out to your property and looking at your wood?
Yeah.
All right, that's ridiculous. Circuit court judge.
Yeah,
coming out to the property. I mean, we got building.
That's vindictive. That's vindictive because she wanted him to rip
I've never
down
heard of
E6.
Such a thing.
So,
well, we invited her to the property because the opposing attorney has stated that my place is public and private health nuisance and all sorts of lies and that my buildings are falling in, caving in, and all sorts of lies. I've had the 33rd District House of Representatives guy, Ken Goyke, come out and look at my property, and he said, these things are safe. They're not falling down. They're not. So he signed a statement to that effect. These people
are rich. They don't care. Yeah, they're vindictive is what it is. And they're in it for the money. They're looking to get money, and that's that. And we're going to call it for what it is, and we'll do what we have to do, and we'll put these people in their place. And look, when they get the order from the federal court, because this is a federal – you see, the whole thing is this. They violated your unalienable right of due process. That's what she done. And that makes it a federal case. Which means it has to go to the federal courts. And so the case for habeas corpus always comes from a federal court. I got an email from someone today. They sent me a video, and down below it says, oh, if National Liberty Alliance only understood how to really do a habeas corpus, they could really learn from this. I clicked on the video. I listened to it for about 5 minutes. It's a 9-minute long video, but 5 minutes of just nothing but nonsense. And basically, they were trying to tell you how to do a habeas corpus from the jail. And they were saying that they need to get a pencil and paper, that is their right to have, and they'll get that. And then they have to write their petition for the habeas corpus, and they have to send it to the jailer. It doesn't say about anything else. And then it says you have to send it to the jailer and to the court, the court that they're in. But all of that is a lie, and it's not true. The jailer does have to answer, but it's not really the jailer. It's the court that has to answer. By what authority are you holding this person? And it must be a federal court. You see, because there's the actual facts of the matter is they're violating your unalienable right of due process. And in this person's case, they violated his right of liberty by taking him and putting him in jail. And so, therefore, it has to be a federal case. If you go into the Constitution, you read the Constitution under Article 3, all cases that arise under this Constitution is the jurisdiction of this court, Article 3 court. And so if you're doing a habeas corpus, that's an unalienable right, which is also covered in the Bill of Rights, that's covered in the Constitution, and therefore it now is a federal case. They want to keep it in their court, and they want you to write the paper to the sheriff only or to the jailer only. And of course, they have total control over that, and they will probably acknowledge your petition when you do it that way, because they're going to rule the other side anyway. Because they'll write the papers for the sheriff or the jailer, and they'll put all the necessary sandbox stuff into that, so it's all fictional, it works statutorial, and the judge is going to say, nah, you can't get out of jail, go back to jail, you stay there. And that's what's going to happen. So it was a real joke, that video. Everything they said was wrong from every perspective. I only listened for 5 minutes. I didn't need to listen, waste another 4 minutes with them. But I haven't met anyone other than Bill Thornton that really knows how to do a habeas corpus. There is kind of an art to it, and we've got a well-done process for all of our paperwork. It's a four-step process, and you must execute all four steps, and that's what we do. So,
hey, John?
Yep.
John? My lawyer's doing a motion to compel the plaintiffs to give us the appeal request for them to identify all the problems in the International Property Maintenance Code that they have an issue with. Should he continue with that motion?
Absolutely not, because you're just giving jurisdiction to the court. Why give them jurisdiction by going through their appeal process?
And listen,
why throw the money away that you're going to lose anyway? Go ahead, Rod.
That International Property Code is nothing more than Agenda 20 on it. One, it's horrible. You could have your grass 2 inches too long, and they cite you. That's not a good code that they should be using anyway.
Right.
Chances are they'll find something in that code that you're violating, because that's the way they wrote it.
So I should tell my lawyer not to proceed with that motion.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Another look.
Yes,
every
yes.
time he makes you a paper, he charges you $1,100. That's what that's about.
That's all he's doing, and the court will receive that paper and go through the exercise in order for him to make that $1,100 or whatever he's charging. Yeah, he's wasting your time. You know, look, if he was a real lawyer, he would say, where's the affidavits? There is no case here. Where are the sworn affidavits against my client? Who's got that? Because I don't see it. Where is it? Where is the injured party? What are we doing here? But he's not going to do that.
So I'm going to tell him not to proceed with that motion.
Oh, absolutely. You're only throwing your money.
Because the other guy is proceeding with the motion to go after my finances.
Well, look, we got to get in there. All these motions automatically tell you you're not in a court of record. Look, you know, when you go into a court, your court of record will be either a trial jury or a judge that is adhering to American jurisprudence, okay? And they do neither, okay? So you're in the wrong court. You got to get out of there. We got to get you out of there as quick as possible. Try to bite time as long as possible. We'll try to get into the thing before your date comes up. We'll do the best we can.
Okay, so I'm going to email my lawyer and tell him not to proceed with the motion for the appeal for them to...
You're wasting your money to do so. The judge has already ruled against it to begin with. And, you know, they may allow you to have that appeal just to run so the lawyer can make more money and the other lawyers can make more money, put more time into it. And you're going to lose anyway.
Well, I understand that one. But see, when they tell them to give us a list of what all the problems my property has, then they're going to go back in my buildings and say, this is not stacked properly. You have too much of this. You have too much of that. You need to get rid of this. They were going to clean out my whole garage and throw everything in a dumpster.
Is this your home?
Yeah.
is just your home. Well,
I have 6.5 acres, and you know, nobody can see these buildings. Nobody can see that firewood, and
right.
I have too much firewood.
Yeah, they're insane. Okay, look it. Just work with the group. We'll do what we can, and fast as we can, and we'll get a successful outcome, I'm sure.
So I will email the lawyer and tell him not to proceed with the appeal request for the International Property Maintenance Code.
Yeah, because if you do, you're wasting your money, and you're also giving an international code. I mean, my goodness, you're giving them also jurisdiction by doing that.
Okay.
The lawyers are just in it for the money. And this is what they've been trained to do. They know they're not going to win. This guy knows he's not going to win.
Yes, I have hired a private state inspector, and he's been leading me through and actually saving my buildings by putting an appeal to the
What you do with rocks, their whole boat, I've done this in cities where you have to have licenses in the city and all this other stuff, and you have to have all the subcontractors and stuff, and you have to go according to their stupid rules in the city here and there. And what I did is, especially if I work in a place where they go with all these stupid permits, I go in as a general contractor, and then I hire my own guys, and I bring in a private engineer. I bring in an engineer, and the engineer tells the inspector to take a hike. I'll certify everything. Don't worry about it. We don't need you to visit here no more. And then we just go according to the plans, and we get the approvals and the certifications, and at the end we package it all together and give it to the town. We bypass the inspector altogether, and that's it, end game. So if you're going to hire someone, one of the best people to hire is an engineer, which is good anyway to do, so you do it right and you do it exactly the way it should be done, and you're covered with your insurances, you built correctly, you get it certified. God forbid anything happens, you have a collapse or something. Well, you did it according to the process and the paperwork. You know, whatever happened is someone else's fault, maybe a faulty material that got in there somehow. You know, there was a case out here where I live down in Newburgh where a whole front wall of a school with windows and everything collapsed. And I don't remember how many, quite a few children died in that. These are young baby children. You know, we're talking 8-9-year-old kids. And a whole bunch of kids died. And it turned out that the inspector was crooked and on the take, and they got in bad materials coming in with concrete that really made it a foundational problem, and the walls and the footings and so on. And the collapse, it took many years, 15 years or so, before it happened, so the building wasn't brand new. But that was a game played. And again, there turned out to be the contractor and a game going on between a contractor and an inspector and faulty materials. They were all in on it. And criminal charges were filed. So I always do any of my work, I always do with an engineer or an architect, because I'm safe there.
Well,
you know?
Well, John?
Mm-hmm.
This state inspector, he's expert witness. And a private,
absolutely, yeah.
He's a private consultant, and he's basically whoever pays him is whose side he's on. So we've hired him,
yeah.
And he's helping me tremendously. He's saved my buildings. He's helped guide me along to finding contractors to help fix them, so that these guys wouldn't bulldoze these things. So she was ready to have put an order to bulldoze these things down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've met some really good inspectors, private inspectors, state inspectors, or whatever you want to call them, that are good at their job. I've met some really good project or construction managers. I'm one myself, but I've met some really good guys that have certain expertises and even engineering backgrounds. And they can certify things also. So these are the people you want to work with, and not the town people. I always try to stay away from the inspectors, you know.
But sometimes we have to deal with it.
Yeah, we've got
to
move on.
We have a long queue.
Yes. All right. Look at Jen. Appreciate the call, and we'll talk again.
Just real quick moment. My inspector's coming out, or the consultant's coming out tomorrow morning. He's putting together a plan to deal with the firewood in the garden. He's going to present that to the township for approval so that they can put their blessings on, and then I can work on the yard.
That's a good move right there. And you take that to the court and tell them to shove it in their ear. That's the way to go. Because, you see, once the town gives it a blessing with the certifications of that type, game over. But again, you know, they're going to try to hold on to you. At least it may stall them a little bit. We'll do what we got to do on our end.
Very good.
Okay?
Thank you, John.
All right. Thank you. Gerard, you ready to take control here?
Yeah. I'm going to hit next question. Don't touch it.
I'm not touching nothing. It's your job.
Okay, Gary. Gary Hoff.
Not my job anymore. Thanks.
You've been unmuted, Gary. If it's in fact Gary. Can you hear me?
It's Gary in Michigan. Where are you at?
Can you hear me now?
We do.
I can now.
Okay. Hi, John, Gerard, and Gary from Michigan. I am also Gary from Michigan. We've talked before, Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I recognize you, too.
All right, great. I wanted to run this by everybody because I think it's kind of significant. We've had a lot of fun with this. I'm talking about a little business card that on the front of it says, We the People. It's in three colors. Fine print below it says, Standing Together to Uphold Our Constitution. You turn it over, and on the backside, it says, Notice. All the people that have ever taken an oath to protect the Constitution of the United States of America from enemies, both foreign and domestic, should realize that oath never expires. That oath is for your lifetime. Any violation of that oath does have moral, lawful consequences, and we the people are watching the actions of our elected officials in that regard. Violations of your oath is a treasonous act. We are living in a time when more and more Americans and people of the world are waking up and becoming aware of all the deceptions that have been inflicted on us by our elected officials. This awakening is inspiring us, we the people, to not only stop the deception, but aid fervently all the supporters of the Constitution of our United States. And then the bottom line on the back side of this card, which is highlighted, says, On which side of that awakening will you be found?
How big is this card?
It's a business-sized card.
Really? How
the back
that
side
print?
Is very fine print. You have to have pretty good eyesight to read it.
I was thinking.
All right, Hawkeye, good luck.
Right. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because most of us that came up with this idea are NLA members, but we haven't stamped NLA on the card or anything because we don't have permission for it or anything. But to me, it just dovetails in with everything we're doing. So I wanted to run it by you guys tonight and let you know about that. It's not copyrighted or anything. You can get 1,000. We got 1,000 of these at Staples for $49.95, I guess it is. We've passed out a lot of them, and we've had a lot of fun with it. So I'm bringing this up, bringing it out to the group, and hoping that they'll grab it. Gary or Gerard, whatever you want me to do, I could send you some samples of this. Maybe it'll take off. Maybe it'll help in some way. You know, so.
That's good. I mean, I don't even see why you couldn't have a little NLA logo or.
Yeah, let me just pipe in real quick. I didn't hear, you know, what it said, but if the wording is good, then go with it. But let me suggest what you might want to do is talk to Staples and see if they'll do an oversized business card to make the font a little bigger, maybe even as big as an index card, or they have that very extra large business cards, and maybe that'll be a little better with the font. But you do have our permission. I didn't hear it all, but if
the wording was
good,
great. Nothing wrong with the wording.
Yeah, you can put our website on there and refer them up to us if you want. That's good, you know.
You know, they make those little ones that fold in half, John. It's like a double business card.
Yeah, there you go. And then you can get the wordings on the inside and the whole page
right.
And then something on the back or however you want to do it.
It's going to cost twice as much then, you know.
Right.
I probably
would. Well, the other thing to do is to get, thick stock, paper. okay? And, you know, you can get a ream of that, a couple of hundred pages, papers in a ream, and you can run off half-page messages of exactly whatever it is that you wrote and put something on the other side you want. You can run it right off your printer and then cut them in, you know, do two on per page and get them in half. That's another way to do it, or even in quarters and do four per page. But you might be able to get, matter of fact, there should be no reason why you couldn't get Staples to run that off too and give you a decent price on a ream of over, you know, heavy stock paper cut in quarters with your message on it. And they can do it very professionally and nice and run them off for you that way too. So,
okay.
But business cards are good too if you want to go with the small print, you know, the small font. So.
Okay, well, thanks, John and Gerard and Gary, for permission to do the MLA on this. It's the front of the card is We the People. It's basically the same thing as what you see on the Common Law Handbook, only it's in three colors. And like I said, the backside, but we've had a lot of fun with people been stopped for a traffic stop or whatever, and they'll say, well, you know, you're going to give me a ticket? Well, let me give you this, and the cop will take a look at it and whatever. It kind of puts things in perspective, you know, because I think a lot of them don't realize that they have taken an oath, and there are consequences for that oath that they've taken. And this is kind of like just jogging them back into reality, I hope. So, but anyway, thank you for your input. God bless you guys for everything that you're doing. We shall prevail.
Thank you very much, Gary. Appreciate
it. Good night.
Good night. Mark. Mark.
Hello?
707. Oh, who's this?
This is Carolyn.
Okay, Carolyn. How you doing?
Okay. It's my turn?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. I've been on for like 2.5 hours. I'm with the CPS. I happened to file back in April or May, and I'm just wondering what happened to our paperwork and our cases and everything since this big mess that took place this past Sunday or the Sunday.
Let me respond to this. We have all the paperwork. We're working on the CPS papers right now. If you call Catherine to confirm that she has yours, you can do that. That would be a wise thing to do. And just to make sure that she's got yours, but I believe we're in good shape with the paperwork. They did follow the instructions we gave them on the paperwork. So we're going good. But just make sure that we do have yours. I do believe...
How do I find Catherine's number?
Oh, well, if you go to nationallibertyalliance.org, okay.
Okay, I'm on it now. Okay.
Okay, on the right side, you'll see the happy face with a frown instead that has the holding up the sign, help. Okay, click on that. Okay, when you get to the next page, you click on the bottom link all the way down on the bottom. It says Probate Court, Family Court, CPS, and APS. Click on that. And then when you get to that, you come to the bottom of that page. I think it's on the bottom. Yeah, it is. You'll have... different people. Let's see, we have intake representatives. We have two. We have Elvira and we have Daniel. Now, I don't know. Hopefully they're up to par on everything. I know I've been talking with Catherine and Gary, do you know if Catherine has made contact and has schooled Elvira and Daniel on the old cases, or does... Maybe she needs to call.
We are making it through those cases. I cannot give you details, but I can just tell you one thing. Catherine's a bulldog. She doesn't let go.
Right, but does Elvira and Daniel have the list so when she calls to know, to say, hey, your name is right here, all your paperwork is here, we're good. Can they do that? They've been updated?
I think they can. And I think we want to include Veronica in that loop.
As long as she wants her phone number up there for that, because I know she's busy on a lot of stuff. So I don't know.
Veronica's number is up there.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there it is, the director.
If it's CPS related, please contact Veronica first.
That's the one. Look, if it's a new intake, go through the intake representatives. If it's an old intake, go through Veronica. Veronica definitely has the list because she gave me all the files. So.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, because I know that I was with the first wave that was supposed to be filed back in July, and I have a child that they're talking about putting up for adoption like next month, and I don't care about money or anything. I just want the children.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're with you 100% there, and
we are moving on CPS very quick now.
Yeah,
so
right now we're on it.
Yeah, I think the next week or two we're going to be. I'd say 2 weeks. We're probably going to be caught up on doing the papers for them. I think because
okay, but I got to explain to you. We were talking earlier in the calls about we were discussing about lying and being held accountable in court and everything. Well,
right.
the seven year old girl, you know, my daughter. She had to go to a preliminary hearing and testify against her alleged abuser. Well, they really emphasized about telling the truth. And she said that he didn't do it, so the caseworker punished the child and actually told both of the children, you know, you can't go home anymore, you're not allowed to see your mom anymore or anything. And in other words, they punished her for lying in court, for not telling the truth in court or whatever, and this is ridiculous, but a caseworker could sit there and say, you know, say whatever they want in court.
All right, well, Veronica is Skyping me right now. She wants to know your last name, but I don't know if you want to say that on the air.
Yeah, I don't care. Hines, H-I-N-Z.
H-I-N-Z.
I think I saw Hines, yeah, I think I saw her in there. All right, well, while he's getting the answer from Veronica.
Okay, Veronica, I'm sorry, you're in. You're all set.
With
all
the
right,
CPS cases, with the CPS cases, we're doing the habeas corpus, and right after that we're doing indictments. And these people, we will indict them. I'm sure we're going to get indictments. We'll have to pull the grand jury together to confirm that. But we'll get indictments on them. And in that will also be restitution, so it'll be both civil and criminal court together, and we have a plan to control it and make sure that we do get justice here. But we'll inform you
about
those as we – I understand that. We're going to first do the habeas corpus, get the children home. That's the key. And then we'll inform people on the rest of the stuff, how we move forward with the rest.
Okay, because
these people, if anybody deserves jail, in my opinion, these judges all need to go to jail. All of them. That's my opinion. And of course, you know, we have to have true cases and show the true damage and evil that they've done and bring it to a jury, and they'll decide. And I am confident that the jury is going to do the right thing.
Yeah, and to general population as well.
That's right.
Yeah, because I kind of got lost here because I had permanency hearings back in May, and I was told by Gina to speak to a Greg Todd, I want to say his name was.
Yeah, Greg's not with us anymore, yeah.
Now I know that, but I was told to scan all my documents and drop them into a Dropbox, and he'd get back to me and look over my case. That never happened. I kind of, like, got lost here with everything.
Well, you're not lost now. You're in our pipeline.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, back to Gerard. Go ahead for your next caller.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, hi, Gerard and John. This is Doug Millar. And, you know, we announced 7.5 weeks ago on this program that if we're going to go after the Pope. I had no idea the interference we've had. I predicted we'd have a double, triple, maybe even quadruple the membership of NLA. But bottom line is we've had so much interference, we can't even finish the show. And we've been going after the Pope almost every night, 5 days a week, for the last 7 weeks. And so I just want to invite you to come back on the show this Friday, both Gerard and John. I hope you'll
do that. Which show? What's the name of the program?
It's United for Justice, and the program is on, it'd be 9 o'clock your time for 1 hour.
Okay, is that because we missed one recently? Is that the one we missed?
Nope.
Okay, yeah. I'll tell you what, give me a call tomorrow or the next day, and let's go through the details and information. Call me at 845-233.
845, what time is it?
233. Well, let me give you the number first. 845-233-6560. Okay, now.
I'm borderline dyslexic, John, so.
845-233-6560.
What's a good time to call you?
Well, give me a call. Give me a call, I don't know, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or later, you know. But, I mean, sometimes I'm earlier. But if I, it depends on what time I get to sleep tonight, depends on what time I get up. So, but give me a call around 10, 11, 12. You should be able to get me.
Tomorrow's a good time?
Tomorrow's good, yep.
All right. Thank you. I'll definitely do that.
Hello? Yeah, go right ahead. Gerard, you got this.
Over here. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, the other last issue is that we have an excellent fundraising idea to help fund NLA forever. And so we've got I just heard about it last night, and I looked into it, and I'm just really excited. I think it's going to be, it's going to put us over the top financially. And, you know, like the movie Pay It Forward, Las Vegas trial there.
Yeah,
in this
case, I remember that.
It's much better than GoFundMe. What it is, it's called We Share, SHIRE, crowdfunding.net.
We're familiar with that. Yeah.
Oh, you already familiar with it?
Yeah, we're familiar with that. As a matter of fact, we did one. I don't know if we did the We Share or we did the other one. But I'll talk to John. We get on the phone about that and see.
I'll talk to you more about it tomorrow. But then there's a /Unite for Justice. And I think you're going to be really excited about it because it's really taking hold nationwide and it's just really getting going.
Yeah.
So check out the website.
Well,
so that's good
here.
For now. I'll call you gentlemen tomorrow morning, okay?
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Here you go, Greg. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I do.
Okay.
Hey, I've never been on your radio show before, so this is the first.
Okay.
And you're talking at the beginning about the foreclosure, and you're using a habeas corpus to enter into the federal court system on the habeas corpus for the foreclosure.
Right.
And is that a common law habeas corpus or a corporate habeas corpus?
No, it's common law habeas corpus and
okay, so that's why okay.
You're going after them for violating your rights of due process. Because most of the stuff they do it in rem, you know, there is no due process, and that's why the habeas corpus works in the high court, because that's what they, you know, the federal court is for that. When the state violates your due process rights, that's where you belong. You belong in the federal court.
I get it. So, in the process, does the grand jury at that point drop the case?
No, because, what happens is we're doing it from the perspective of the grand jury. So what we're doing is we're giving the approval for the habeas corpus, and the judge gets the notice that he's under judicial watch. We're watching him. Because if he doesn't do the right thing, guess what? We're going to freaking indict him. And we say that in not so many words. He understands that the grand jury is watching his movement on this when it comes in. So it's a very
if that happens, that means it won't go forward to a jury trial, right?
Correct.
Yeah, look,
here's the key thing to this whole thing is that once it's put through, they will default. And since they default, the grand jury then will do the decision in a memorandum of decision and the default papers and file it and put forth the order and send a copy to the court, which will go to the judge and it will be filed in the court and everybody gets the papers and that's it. The tribunal has decided. If they were to respond, then it's the duty of the judge to actually take a hearing within 5 days, and that hearing then has to make a decision, and he has to rule according to American jurisprudence, and we let him know that, and we also let him know that he will be under judicial
earlier.
Review, right, judicial review.
But they never respond anyway.
Well,
they always default.
So you've done one of these before, and,
mm-hmm.
and it worked out like so.
We've done four. Two have been successful. The other two is coming up for time. So we're watching, and we'll be following up on them. And, yeah, there's no reason why they shouldn't be successful because it's a habeas corpus. It's a judicial process, and it must go forward. No one can stop a process once it's executed. And habeas corpus is part of that process, court process.
Is this a paper process only, or is this an appearance where you go in personally and talk?
No. We work everything out with the individual. We put together a petition on their behalf according to their case. So a petition to the grand jury is put forward from the individual or the next friend if they're incarcerated. The grand jury then makes an approval and then writes the habeas corpus and attaches the petition and also the sworn affidavit, and they are ordered to answer under sworn affidavits to everything within the petition, within the habeas corpus, and also rebut the sworn affidavit from the injured party. They never do. They never respond. They get 3 days. That's the law. That's the rules. That's the way common law is always working. 3 days. On the fourth day, we send out a default, and we send out a memorandum decision of that for default, and they have to abate from law anything concerning these people, and they can never bring these charges again. And then we do write sometimes things like they have to, return certain monies or whatever the case may be. But then that's prime for additional things that can happen in the future. But we don't get too much into that, with the exception of the children, the CPS. We're going to do indictments there. But let me back off.
Is there a fee for that?
Oh, no.
No, we don't charge
a fee. No, we do ask to help.
Is there a membership?
We do ask to help people to help throw off our costs. For instance, it costs us about $30. As a matter of fact, the last mailing we did was about $32. And so that $32, we asked them if they can help offset that cost, send in some money to assist us. But we won't deny anyone. If they haven't got any money, we'll ask them for a dollar then to help throw off the cost. Some people give us a bigger donation, and that will help the people. That'll help us pay for the cost of the people who couldn't give us anything. But we will not deny anyone. We don't charge anything.
Are you a counselor or an attorney?
I think I could call myself a common law lawyer. I'm not an attorney. I do a lot of counseling on all levels,
I got something else to tell you. I've been studying. You're obviously on the jurisdiction part of this whole thing, and that's what I've been studying is jurisdiction. And so when the state or the county or the city comes after me, I challenge them with the question, is this a several state of the union, or are you referring to District of Columbia, some kind of territory, within the state that they're talking about when they make a claim? And then I come back to them and say, well, this state is the several state of the union, because I'm from Oregon, so Oregon became a union state in 1859. They advertised it on the Secretary of State's website, and I don't get an answer from them when I reply to their claims. And so I'm still currently waiting for an answer what jurisdiction that they're putting their claim under, and I also requested the name of the injured party, and exactly what you do, I requested a sworn affidavit of the claims that they're making or the presumptions that they're making, and I haven't received any of that information back in return. I requested it twice, and I'm going on my third time to make a third request, and I've been going to City Hall and the building board for the request, and they don't answer me. They go silent.
I was just going to say you have to let them know they're defaulted. I mean, is this a court case? It's a number they're coming after.
No, it's not a court case. It's just a presumption violation letter.
Okay, so
it's a home. It's a remodel job, and they sent out a violation notice.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, and so, if the house is sitting in the... Well, like, let's say your foreclosure that you're talking about on the radio, the house... All houses are in the several state of the union, but somehow when the banks put out a mortgage or the client requests the mortgage and they take out a mortgage for the house, well, the banks are regulated by the federal government, so that's under federal law, and the house is sitting in the several state of the union. How do you get a loan? There's multi-jurisdictions going on, and so how does the bank, being a federal entity, how does it get jurisdiction over a several state of the union home, a home sitting in the location of a several state of the union? Because court cases treat it like the house is sitting on a District of Columbia, some kind of a ceded territory with the federal government, but they'll never let the cat out of the bag that it is.
Because, they're not gonna want to answer that at all because they
I know. That's how I'm treating all my cases now.
Yeah.
Just let you know, Gerard, 10 minutes.
Yeah, we should get moving. They're not gonna answer
okay.
You gotta go through the process, you know what I mean? And they don't think they have to answer you, that's why they don't. So I don't think there's any consequences to that. You just have to know how to move it forward and take it to the next step, that's all.
I've been told on those default notices, like when I do put in the default notice, if the law says you have 30 days, you give them a default,
right?
And they don't answer. Okay, so anyway, when you do give it, and they say, oh, that's frivolous, that's bogus, that,
they can say whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. You got to file it in the court, and when you have it, you have it. Once the clerk gives it to you, have it. You could sell it if you want to. You have somebody collect it. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that. If you listen on Mondays, you'll see where we touch on that. And we do have some good articles on the site about that. You know what I mean? But anyway.
Well, I appreciate your answering back and your response.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Cheryl from Tennessee, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I have a question. Do you all have the oath of offices for the judges and the sheriff? Did you get a sworn copy of it?
Did we get it? What are you talking about? On a case?
The mass mailing that went out. Were any of the oaths of offices sent to anyone?
I don't believe that we requested oath of offices. You're talking about to the 96 federal courts when we sent them the Coroatos and the mandamuses and stuff. I don't believe we requested any oath of offices. I don't think that was something that we did. I mean.
Okay. And who signed the habeas corpus? Who is the grand jury administrator?
The administrator of each state. We got, I signed some, John signed some. It depends on who's doing the paperwork.
Right. We're very careful on how we sign the papers and who signs them. And the grand jury in itself, when we meet, often has, 150, 200 people will come together for the grand jury to vote and for doing indictments. We've got some preliminary decisions, some basic, decisions from the grand jury from the last time. So we have the authority to act in certain ways and actually make indictments without even going back to the grand jury under certain circumstances. So the grand jury ultimately, when the unified United States common law grand jury comes together, we get people from every state of the union and they take a vote. But the administrators, the people, ultimately, we're looking to get four for each county, four administrators for each county in America. So that brings us about 15,000 people that we need. And these are paid positions that once we get into the courts, they would be paid positions. Instead of the judges and the prosecutors running the grand juries and the trial juries, we, the people, will be doing it. And so that's how that process will work. But right now, there are quite a few of us that are on the administrative part or side of this thing that will sign these papers on behalf of the grand jury that has already been predetermined to go forward with.
Okay, because I'm reviewing the default judgment of Stephen Dean that's dated May the 9th, 2015.
Yeah, he had, that judge has been indicted. We just haven't done the paperwork yet, and mostly because we're behind. And look, at these kind of things sometimes takes months anyway before the action takes place, sometimes when a grand jury will make a decision or even to get the grand jury to make a decision. So we're kind of in a ballpark with them on that, only because we're just so overloaded. But also, you know, I think God's hand in this is in this. We're getting successes in different places, and so when we file those papers, we'll have a little more leverage because we do have more successes. And we will call forth the sheriff for executing the indictments if necessary. I mean, we're going to work with the marshal as long as he obeys his oath and does what he has to do. But if not, then that court is out of control. It's within counties, and those counties, if you got a court that covers maybe 10 counties, 15 counties, we'll get 15 sheriffs together on that, or at least one of them. But we are working on trying to unite sheriffs in different states for different things that we're doing, and that's going to take a little time, but we're working on that. But I think in the federal courts, our indictments will go through the process.
Well, I hate to give a federal court any ideas, but I can imagine a federal court is going to say, who is his signature? Because I couldn't read it.
The federal court is going to say what?
A federal court may ask who signed this, because I can't.
And the answer will be none of their business. It came from the grand jury. You have a seal on it. There's a lot of people involved, and we're not going to give them a target because we're talking about subversion. We're going after these people the way we are because of subversion in the United States of America on every single level, and the judges are in on it. And if they think they're going to get names of people of the grand juries, the jurists that came together, look, they don't reveal the names of the people in their grand juries, rightly so, and they don't reveal the name of the foreman either, rightly so. And so that's all kind of kept under hat, so to speak. We're going to do the same thing and protect the people. And look, we're not just a couple of people doing a few little things. We are thousands across the nation doing things, and they know that now. They know we're not some little group of people in some little county or some state. They know we are national, and we're coming.
But anyway,
one last question. Yeah, because we have a couple more callers I'd like to get in, but go ahead.
Does the grand jury ministry have the power, the authority to issue like a temporary injunction or restraining order for the cases of Maude and the other lady that was facing an issue with the court? With that, I yield.
Well, I'll answer that question. No, the power of the we do have that power in the sense, okay, of using the habeas corpus. Why use anything else but the most powerful paper of the court, the habeas corpus? So with the habeas corpus, we shut the whole system down, and we call for them to show cause under oath, and if they fail to do it, they default, and they always fail to do it because, look, if they come under oath and make sworn statements, they're going to go to jail for perjury because they'll be lying. If they don't come into court, don't do anything, well, we may or may not chase them depending on how busy we are, but the bottom line is they're guilty of fraud because they had a duty to answer and they didn't. But nevertheless, the default frees the individual from jail or from their clutches. They're taking their homes or whatever it is that's doing. It freezes that. They have to abate from the law. So.
All right, thank you.
Okay. All right, back to you, Gerard. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to go. That's good. Look at you. As far as injunctions go, they take too long, and you got people hanging out to dry. So you're right. The habeas corpus is the quickest, easiest way to give relief, in my mind. Connecticut, Ed.
Hey, how you doing there? I was just wondering what your thoughts and John's thoughts in reference to in Connecticut, how they try to protect themselves from anything that's just and constitutional. And somehow, you know, and they're one of, just keep in mind, they're one of 11 states that have that, really it's an all-party consent on any type of conversation or phone call. That's just one little tidbit there. But just everything else that they're doing to shield themselves from the Constitution, which, of course, is really what a ridiculous thing if you think Connecticut is called the Constitution State, you know, under
legislation. Yeah, that's a contradiction there. Just so you know, Gerard, 2 minutes. Listen, go ahead.
Okay. It's the same answer, Ed. Look, they could do whatever they want. I mean, I know it's an all-party state if you want to tape a conversation. Of course, the federal government thinks they can tape anybody. They don't give a crap what state you live in. You know, I mean, if I was doing an investigation and we felt we had a tape, we wouldn't care about who was taping who, because they do it all the time. But that's not even necessary. The fact of the matter is, you know, when they don't answer our habeas corpus, they default. And we're going to take them in a federal court, and it doesn't matter what Connecticut thinks that they're covering themselves with, you know what I mean? And so really that habeas corpus is the answer. It's very powerful. And so they can play any kind of smoke and mirror games they want. The fact of the matter is they don't answer the paper and they don't show by what authority and answer, you know, whether they're under the Constitution or not, then they're defaulted. And we know they're going to default because that's what they do.
Right. No, you got right to the point. I appreciate it. Yeah, that was just an example because you see, but Connecticut, and look what they've done already. Got rid of our sheriff.
Time.
A sneak bite, yeah. But anyway, that's the thing. But thank
you. All going to get better, and it's all going to get better as the dominoes fall really quickly. And one of our main thing is to put the sheriffs back in, and we'll deal with that. But let me try to get Sherry from Oregon, because we got two people left, and I like to get everybody this week.
All right, just keep it short, though, because we're now in overtime, and go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. Sherry from Oregon, go ahead.
Hi, I'm going to go ahead and pass and let someone else go, and I'm just going to talk to Veronica.
Okay, very good.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Mike from California. You are it. You got like 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6. Mike from California. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I guess we were 2-4. Mike fell asleep. Thank you.
Okay, thanks everybody for showing up this Monday night, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And again, consider our Bible study will be starting soon. Good night, everybody. Lord bless.
Children sing a song of love for every boy and girl. The sky is blue, the sea.